fellow Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz explains the decision.
She wanted to come back in 2012, but if she had done that, she would have been dividing her time between focusing on her recovery and doing her job, and she would have had to do both things halfway.
Weather emergencies reported from the Midwest to Southeast. There were reports of multiple tornadoes and baseball-sized hail in some areas. Thousands are without power. An outpouring of grief last night at the Penn State campus. Students and alumni held a candlelight vigil to honor the late Joe Paterno. Former Florida State University football coach Bobby Bowden says Paterno's legacy will continue among people who knew him well.
Me, I'm not going to let myself think of the Sandusky thing. I'm going to always remember Joe for what he contributed.
The school fired Paterno in November over the handling of sex abuse allegations against former assistant Jerry Sandusky. Paterno had been battling lung cancer. The New York Giants beat the 49ers 20-17 in overtime to capture the NFC title. The Giants will play the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl on February 5th. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership. No rain checks.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
After two decades, the co-CEOs of BlackBerry Maker Research in Motion are out. They have been facing intense and growing shareholder pressure as the BlackBerry continues losing market share to the iPhone and items powered by Google Android. Thorsten Heinz, former executive of Siemens, who's been with RIM for 4 years, is the new boss. One early project he will tackle, a complete reworking of the BlackBerry Playbook tablet device, which has grossly undersold its rivals. Target wants to stop you from showrooming. That's when you walk into a store to buy a product, and if you like it, go home and buy it online for less. Wall Street Journal says Target is talking with its vendors about how to curtail the practice, which would include versions of products exclusive to its stores and rewarding loyal customers with discounts. Overseas markets, flat reading for Japan's Nikkei index today. Most European markets are slipping modestly as Eurozone finance ministers make key decisions on Greek debt talks. S&P futures are flat. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at Office Max, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices. Like when you buy a case of X9 paper for $41.99, you get $41.98 back in Max Perks bonus rewards. It's like paying one penny for a full case of paper. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. But please don't step on our elephant. Limit 2, offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal Lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Of course you're ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Come on, we know it's not that invasive. Right? It's all about, it's all about a lot of things. Welcome. Monday morning. Wow, where'd the weekend go? A fast weekend. I did really nothing of substance, and yet I give no clue where my weekend went. I would suggest many of you feel the same way. And, you know, I got to tell you, we need to talk about this weather. When we came in to the studio on Friday, it was 3 degrees. This morning, it was 43 degrees. So it's 40 degrees warmer than it was on Friday. Of course, the big storm that we were going to get on Friday, at least where I live, ended up being much ado about nothing. I mean, we got enough snow that we had to shovel it, but certainly not enough that, the way they were talking, it was going to be this massive snowstorm. Well, that didn't happen, at least not where I was at. And then this morning, it really poured rain the entire way into the studio. And for a solid 30 minutes, it was pouring rain. And I was just watching the weather, and it seems like the heavy rain has gone off to the, where it went, to the west. I don't know. It's just not overhead any longer. But it was just, pouring rain. It was crazy. It was raining so hard you could barely see. Anyway. We got a lot to get to today, and I'm telling you all this, so be careful on the roads because they're going to be wet. I don't imagine, I don't understand this. I don't understand why when it rains we have traffic issues. I just don't get that. It's just water, folks. When it's snow, it's slippery. That I get, but rain, I've never quite understood that. All right. Anyway, I'll move on. We're going to talk. In the 7 o'clock hour today, we're going to talk with Tom Fitzpatrick about a conference coming up for dads. Not for nothing, and I think it's important that, we have the nuclear family and mom and dad and all that, but, we live in a real world, and sometimes we have, kids living more with mom or kids living more with dad, probably more with mom than with dad. I still think that there's a bias in that regard, and I think that there are a lot of very committed fathers out there that don't get credit for all of the hard work that they do. I understand that there are those that don't take care of their families the way they do, but there are plenty that do, and we're going to give them their due this morning a little bit. So we're going to talk about the Midwest the Fathers Conference that's coming here to Detroit and what it means and why you might want to consider going. It's very reasonably priced if you do want to go, but we'll get to that at 7 o'clock at the we will, of course, check in with Occupy Detroit at 7:50. Mark Brewer joins us at 8 o'clock this morning for our Monday Mornings with Mark. And Chris Savage will be here to talk about his recent piece on A2 Politico, which has caused quite a controversy on the First Shift page because not everybody's on board with Michigan Rising. And we need to have this discussion, so we will be having it at 8:35 this morning, so we've got a lot to get to. You're going to want to stay where you're at. Of course, there's a primary on Saturday night that the result was kind of surprising. Not that Newt Gingrich won, but that he won by double digits. We're going to get to that. A lot of other stuff to get to, so let's just go ahead and get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Capture is our first word. I don't mean that in any nefarious way. We're not looking to capture anybody. This isn't a pirate ship. For God's sake, it's a progressive radio show. Maybe we're going to try to capture your attention, maybe your sense of fair play. I don't know. But to capture, oh, the moment in time to capture for Newt Gingrich a victory, which no one really expected it to be as big as it was. Yes, to capture just a lightning in a bottle. Can't do that, can we? Now, maybe we can this morning because there's lightning out there. Capture the good spirit of the people. Capture and hold on to something important, which is, of course, our future. I would think that tomorrow night the president is going to, during the State of the Union, going to try to capture our interest, as Governor Snyder failed to do this past week in the State of the State. Ah, yes. Capture, capture. I'm sure that there are, as I segue in to the rest of the show, some hardcore football fans that would like to capture a different result. But we got what we got, and we welcome Jeff Radford back to the show to capture his impressions of playoff football yesterday. I got to tell you, the delay, and good morning to you, Jeff. The delay, you know, the game's not starting till 3, kind of messed with my head, but I got through it okay.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that that happened. I was just exhausted yesterday, so I was in and out, and didn't get to see. I saw the majority of the game, but I missed some spectacular parts, I suppose. So, but it's good. You know, you got the Patriots and Giants. Yay! In the year of rematches, I guess that's what you want to see. Michigan State and Wisconsin played twice. LSU and Alabama played twice. Now we get the Patriots and Giants, which is a rematch from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Hooray.
Gee.
Did I put a good spin on that? Are you
Your
excited now?
Your enthusiasm is just overwhelming. Why? Because one of the Harbaugh brothers didn't make it? You're gonna protest? What?
Yes. I think, actually, they should have the Super Bowl, and then on a different channel, like, they should have the consolation game, right? Isn't that what some tournaments do? They have, like, a third-place game. I would almost rather watch the third place game. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. But it's clear to me who I want to win. If it was 49ers and versus Tom Brady, then I'd be like, you know, I guess you couldn't lose either way, but I wouldn't know, you know, exactly who I want to win. Now it's like, okay, I definitely don't want the Giants.
So you do want the Pats?
Yes, oh, of course.
And Anthony, your thoughts on yesterday's results, being that you and I didn't get to watch the game together or didn't watch the game together?
2 nail biters. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Are you pleased with the result?
I wanted the Patriots to win. I could care less who really won the other game. I mean, I was pulling for the 49ers, but, you know, the Giants win.
Okay. So are you taking the Patriots already for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I can't root for a Manning.
Okay. A Manning. Doesn't matter which one. You cannot root for a Manning.
Even Archie.
Even Archie?
Yep.
Wow. What did Archie do to you?
I don't know. He just seems to talk too much.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that he's pissed you off, Anthony. Okay. Anyway, well, you know, the only, and I got to tell you, this goes back to, you know, something Jeff tried to paint me in a corner on. As I said, I hate this time of year. You know, the only thing I hate about yesterday was it means that we've only got one more weekend of football. I'm not a Pro Bowl guy because it's a fake game. And it is. And I just don't, why the hell did they change the Pro Bowl to the week before the Super Bowl? Why did they do that? Can somebody give me a reason for that?
So that you got continuous weekends of football to look forward to. This used to be the off weekend so that you didn't have anything and they wanted to stay top of mind. That's the thing. You said that, you know, you got one more weekend of football. Football, especially the NFL, has gotten to the point where it doesn't stop anymore. It's the entire year round.
And it's not year round.
You don't get into it, but a lot of people do. I know people who sit around watching NFL channel and the combine to see who does what and who's going to go
where.
You're
sitting next to somebody that does that.
Yeah. I mean, people, I don't get into it either. I mean, it's funny because I'll get texts and people will say, hey, turn it on right now. The offensive linemen are doing this one drill and you'll be amazed. And you turn it on, he's doing a shuttle run. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, I don't get that into the combine, but people do. The draft, though, I get into. I love watching the entire draft, and especially the weeks leading up to it, who's going to go where and the projections and stuff. And that's city football 24/7, 365. So
yeah, but it's not football. It's football related, but it's not football.
There are times where I get more into that, though, than the playoff weekend sometimes. or even the regular season.
Okay.
Give me a matchup of the Lions versus, you know, the Raiders or something. I guess that one's not a good one. That was a pretty good weekend. Lions versus the Vikings.
It doesn't matter.
I'd rather have the draft.
No. Oh, I knew I let you talk 30 seconds too long. Oh, that's not football. The draft is not football. The combine is not football. Oh, where did I go wrong? Both of you. I raised one of them. I don't know. I just don't know with you two. Oh. Hey, did you hear about the guy that was building a shed? This isn't a joke. This is true. Did you hear about the guy that was building a shed in Illinois and his nail gun misfired? He didn't think anything of it. And he finished what he was doing, went to bed that night, got up in the morning, kind of had a headache, so went to the emergency room and they took a MRI of his head. He had shot himself in the head with a nail gun, didn't even know it.
I didn't see the story, but I heard about it, yeah. I saw the picture of the nail stuck in it. I mean, it looks like it's right in the middle of his brain. That it didn't affect him at all. I don't know how.
I don't know how either, but obviously it didn't. It did not. But anyway, I'm just now trying to change the subject because you've so disappointed me. I don't know how am I going to survive this. I don't know that I can go on today.
A guy with a nail in his brain probably has the same thoughts about how football is done after a Super Bowl weekend.
Hey, by the way, the Wings and even the Pistons had a good weekend.
Yeah, Michigan did not, but Michigan State did. It was a decent weekend overall, other than Michigan losing to Arkansas. But that game was fabulous, by the way.
Yeah. All right, we gotta take a break. And thanks for that. Thanks for letting me know, eh? All right, 888-552-3595. We've got a lot to get to. Newt Gingrich, of course, is the big winner in South Carolina. We'll get to that. There's a lot to actually get to in this first hour today. Feel free to join us. Again, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's take the break and we'll put it all together on the other side of this. It is Monday morning. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident out there on the freeways, might have westbound at Connor. It's on the right shoulder, not really causing any delays. Still have that water over the roadway, not if we're westbound at the Lodge. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain showers throughout most of the day. The temperature will get up to around 47 by noon, but then drop throughout the rest of the day. We'll see some snow showers likely tonight. Mainly before 7 p.m., cloudy, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Introducing the newest member of the Prius family from Toyota. Prius V has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you have access to apps like iHeartRadio, so you can listen to your favorite local stations anywhere. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V, available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See toyota.com/Intune for details.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting tension nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here, because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I was raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices. Like when you buy a case of X9 paper for $41.99, you get $41.98 back in Max Perks bonus rewards. It's like paying one penny for a full case of paper. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. But please don't step on our elephant. Limit 2. Offer in Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiani, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Tribbiani Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO.
Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday, January 23rd, 2012. A pleasure to be with you. Before I go to the phones... Just a few quick things. We of course always welcome your calls, and you've got that number. I made a big mistake yesterday. I was opening up a bottle of soda, and as I was opening it, it exploded and soaked my keyboard. And needless to say, those two don't go together very well. So this morning I will be going to buy a new keyboard for my computer. It affected my computer in a big way for a long time, and I won't get into all of that because it's unnecessary, but oh my. For those of you that sent me email after, let's say, noon yesterday and didn't get a response, it's because I needed my desktop in order to respond. For those of you that didn't need my desktop to respond, you heard from me in other ways, but what a charming event that was. Yes, I was quite upset with myself, but I'll get over it. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Tom in Detroit. Good morning, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tony, first of all. In terms of the auto show, I understood they got close to a record, but they didn't break the record. It was 700-some-odd thousand people who attended that show. And, I mean, you know, it generated something like $400 million in the area. And, you know, some of those people who were even there, you know, went to the auto show because they went there and they saw these vehicles, they are going to buy new cars. So what I'm tying this into is let them go bankrupt. If the president had to listen to that idiot, Mitt Romney, and, you know, wouldn't have continued the loans to Chrysler and GM, we would not have had 700,000 people down at Cobo. We would not have had $400 million generated in this area. And, I mean, because of the ripple effect that, you know, going bankrupt would have had, because there was not that kind of money in the private sector to want to go out there and, you know, buy Ford but Chrysler and General Motors. We would not have, you know, had $400 million, you know, in the area, you know, contributed to the economy. So, you know, Romney, I mean, you know, he can't explain himself and explain his way out of a wet paper bag in terms of this thing here.
$400 million, really, Tom?
That's what I heard.
That's wow. I mean that's a lot of I would guess if you factor in what it costs to put the show together, mm-hmm. and then all of the money that is attracted as a result of visitors, I can see where it could be $400 million. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, and people talk about, I don't want government in my life. Listen, I bet this is one time that those folks who are employed by General Motors and Chrysler, even Republicans, if you Republicans out there and you're listening. You have a job today because President Obama continued those loans to save your job and your livelihood, okay? You're not out of use. You're still in your home. You're going to work, and you got a paycheck, and you got health care. And, I mean, this is one time that government being in business, meaning Ford and General Motors wise, was a very, very good thing.
Well, absolutely. And you'd like to think that everybody that works for the auto industry understands that, but it doesn't hurt to remind them.
Exactly.
It certainly doesn't hurt to, well, listen, you know, that's part of our obligation is to remind people of this stuff. So,
well, you know, say how the line from the song, now I shout it from the highest hill.
There you go.
See,
Tom,
the golden gap.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. And I appreciate that. I didn't realize $400 million, that's a lot of money. Thank you so much. Yes, the auto show was a unqualified success, as Tom said. Almost broken attendance record, and considering where we are at economically, financially, I think it's all things considered that the auto show did quite well. I did not get a chance to get down there. I'm going to assume that I know Jeff didn't either. I'm assuming Anthony didn't, or I would have probably heard about that. But lots of other people did, and that's okay. As we said earlier, Newt Gingrich won the South Carolina primary on Saturday night. Now, let's go ahead and listen to his victory speech. We'll come back and talk about this. Go ahead and
play. The biggest thing I take from the campaign in South Carolina is that it is very humbling and very sobering to have so many people who so deeply want their country to get back on the right track. So many people who are so concerned about jobs, about medical costs, about the everyday parts of life, and who feel that the elites in Washington and New York have no understanding, no care, no concern, no reliability, and in fact do not represent them at all. In the two debates that we had here in Myrtle Beach and then in Charleston, where people reacted so strongly to the news media, I think it was something very fundamental that I wish the powers that be in the news media would take seriously. The American people feel that they have elites who have been trying for a half century to force us to quit being American and become some kind of other system. And the reaction, people completely misunderstand what's going on. It's not that I am a good debater. It is that I articulate the deepest felt values of the American people.
Newt, can we really, I mean, you know, I'm just asking the question, could you really wrap your head around the idea that one day your president would be called Newt? I'm just saying. President Newt.
Your choices are Newt or Mitt.
or Barack. I mean, you know.
I'm used to that one.
I know, but still, I mean, you know, it's a little odd. I mean, all things considered, first of all, is anybody surprised that Newt Gingrich won? Not that he won, that he won by double digits, 12%, which is pretty significant.
Did you hear that it's the first time ever, right? Isn't it the first time ever that three different people have won the first three primaries?
Yes.
And again, we thought at the time Mitt Romney had won by, what, 7 or 8 votes, but I guess this past week it came out that Santorum actually won the first one.
Iowa, yeah, the caucus.
Iowa. Yep.
Which, by the way, means nothing because they don't get any delegates. They choose their delegates separately than the caucus, which makes no sense.
Well, it means nothing because he doesn't. He won, and nobody who wins Iowa barely ever wins the prime or the candidacy anyway.
Yeah, it's odd. So we've had, you know, we have three contests, three different winners. Where does this lead the Republican field is a remarkable question. I don't know. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. We have a lot of audio to get to. Governor Snyder was on Flashpoint this weekend. We'll get to some of that as well. Okay. Anyway, we'll take the break, and we will continue with First Shift right after we do this. Stay with us, please.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. A couple of problems out there on those wet roadways. 94 westbound at Connor Street. Accident there on the right shoulder. 94 westbound at 75. A disabled vehicle and some debris in the left lane there on that ramp to southbound 75. Also, 8 Mile Road right at 75. We have the traffic lights out. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain showers likely until around 5 o'clock today. Some thunder results were possible. Temperature will rise to the upper 40s by noon, but then drop throughout the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely, mainly before 7 p.m. Cloudy, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, a chance of flurries. Mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. Than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
What planet does presidential wannabe Rick Santorum live on? When it comes to grasping the situation of America's hard-hit workaday majority, this sweater-vested ultra-right-winger is further out than Pluto. In a recent debate, Santorum assailed a tax plan proposed by front-runner Mitt Romney. It wasn't the plan's details that caused Rick to stamp his tiny feet, but Romney's expressed intent to help the, quote, middle class. Tut-tut, chided the ideologically pure Santorum. Republicans mustn't use such language, for it creates an impression of class warfare. After all, he lectured, there are no classes in America. We don't put people in classes. Sure, Rick, forget today's jobless economy, a national epidemic of union busting and wage knockdowns, absurd tax giveaways to the super rich, the ongoing Wall Street bailout, inexcusable corporate subsidies, rising poverty, the slashing of anti-poverty programs, and a decade of falling incomes for the vast majority, while the elite 1% makes off with triple-digit increases in their wealth. There's no class war happening. Just close your eyes, hum a happy tune, and live on Pluto. Meanwhile, in the same week that Santorum spoke, the Pew Research Center released a new survey showing how far removed he is from regular people's experiences and concerns. Two-thirds of Americans see, quote, strong conflicts between the rich and the poor in our country, a stark division between those few who have wealth, power, and security, and the vast majority who don't. The few do not have the same objectives as the many, and the survey found that this class separation, yes, class, is the number one source of social tension in America today. This is Jim Hightower saying, interestingly, for the far-out Santorum, not only do 73% of Democrats and 68% of Independents agree, but so do 55% of Republicans.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, so Newt Gingrich is the winner in South Carolina. We now move on to Florida on the 31st of this month. Mitt Romney, before Newt Gingrich surge, was winning handily in Florida, a much more populous state. Probably, not nearly as conservative as South Carolina, but South Carolina wasn't nearly as conservative as Iowa. And so the question remains, and one of the in the exit polling, one of the things that was really interesting was that Newt Gingrich had a better electability rating than Mitt Romney, which I found to be very interesting. It seems that 51% of those who voted believe that Newt Gingrich had a better electability rating, which means he would do better against Barack Obama than Mitt Romney, who only, I believe, only had a 17% electability rating. Nobody expected this. I you know, nobody really expected this. Now, you know, listen, the Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney were the only two that mattered in this contest. The Santorum did not. Ron Paul did not. Of course, all the others have dropped out. So it's irrelevant how they did, which was not well. None of them did well. But it makes one wonder, if I'm a Republican today, how do I feel about what's happening with my primary? Is this just a part of democracy? Is Newt Gingrich getting in Mitt Romney's way? Do you think, well, it doesn't really matter? I mean, you know, it's just all we're really doing is delaying the inevitable because Mitt Romney, by the way, Mitt Romney has the only national organization at this point. He's the only one that has the money to pull off a national election, a campaign, I should say. If you're a Republican, I mean, really, how do you feel about what's going on today? I'm not judging one way or another. Kind of enjoying it, to be honest with you, because I really believe this is democracy in its purest form. It truly is. And it just goes to show you, in a really wild way, how whacked out Republicans are. They can't figure this out. You stop and you think about the qualifications to be president. And you know, listen, Barack Obama was judged just as much as anybody else was, so don't even go there. He was vetted by the American people as much as anybody. In fact, probably more than anybody. And he won, fair and square, quite handily, in fact. And so now we have Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney fighting it out. Now, if Newt Gingrich does well in Florida, all of a sudden Michigan on the 28th of February becomes much more interesting and much more in play than it's ever been, because a week ago we were saying, you know, Michigan probably wouldn't matter. By the time we had the primary here on the 28th of February, it wouldn't matter. Well, maybe it will now. Maybe it just will. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. All right. Let's a little more audio. Chris Christie was on Meet the Press yesterday. Chris Christie, of course, those of you that are paying attention, and I know that's many of you, know that he's a surrogate for the Romney campaign and certainly wanted to defend Mitt Romney on Meet the Press. But his way of doing it was actually to bash a little bit of the Newt Gingrich. Just what Chris Christie had to say.
You've been more pointed when you talk about in favor of Governor Romney. You say he will never embarrass you. Do you think Newt Gingrich will embarrass the party?
I think Newt Gingrich has embarrassed the party over time. Whether he'll do it again in the future, I don't know. But Governor Romney never has.
You say he's embarrassed the party. How and where do you worry he might do it again that makes him unelectable?
We all know the record. I mean, he was run out of the speakership by his own party. He was fined $300,000 for ethics violations. This is a guy who's had a very difficult political career at times, and it has been an embarrassment to the party. You remember these times. You were here. So the fact of the matter is, I don't need to regale the country with that entire list again, except to say this. I'm not saying he will do it again in the future, but sometimes past is prologue.
Okay, sometimes past is prologue. All right, so that's Chris Christie. Well, you know, Newt Gingrich, of course, had his turn on Meet the Press. He actually spoke before Chris Christie did. This is what Newt had to say on Meet the Press.
Last night on stage, Calista and I were together. We have a wonderful marriage. My two daughters and their husbands were there. They're tremendous supporters. My two grandchildren were there, my chief debate coaches. Everybody who's watched us knows I'm a 68-year-old grandfather. I've done things in my life that I regret.
I've had to go to God for forgiveness and reconciliation. But I have a great relationship with my wife, a great relationship with my children, a great relationship with my grandchildren. And at 68, I think I'm the person best prepared to know how to get this country back on the right track. And I'm the person who's tough enough to take every single hit and keep coming.
All right. Well, you know, there might be some truth to that because he doesn't seem to care. I mean, you know, it's easy to take a hit when you don't care. And he's angry. I mean, I think that the Newt Gingrich for me is kind of the angry candidate. He's the prototypical angry candidate. And, you know, a lot of people in politics like the angry candidate. Newt Gingrich is that guy. Doesn't mean he's a good candidate. I'm just saying he's a good angry candidate. He comes right out of central casting. Well, Mitt Romney was on Fox Sunday with Chris Wallace yesterday. Yeah, he had a tough week. No question, Mitt had a tough week. This is what he had to say.
Demanded that you release your tax returns. Here's how you handled it this last week.
If I become our nominee, and what's happened in history is people have released them in about April of the coming year, and that's probably what I do.
What's the effective rate I've been paying? Well, it's probably closer to the 15% rate than anything.
When you release yours, will you follow your father's example?
Maybe.
Forgive me, sir, but who says maybe in a presidential debate? Why were you, and I think this is a question a lot of political pundits are asking, why were you and your campaign so unprepared for what seemed to be such an obvious line of attack?
Well, actually, what we said was that I was planning on releasing them in April when they'd been released by other candidates in the past. But you know what? Given all the attention that's been focused on tax returns, given the distraction that I think they became in these last couple of weeks, look, I'm going to make it very clear to you right now, Chris. I will release my tax returns for 2010, which is the last returns that were completed. I'll do that on Tuesday of this week. I'll also release at the same time an estimate for 2011 tax returns. So you'll have 2 years. People can take a good look at it. We'll put them on the website, and you can go through the pages. I think we just made a mistake in holding off as long as we did. It just was a distraction. We want to get back to the real issues in the campaign.
All right. You know, here's my question, Jeff. He said we made a mistake. Man, this is a two-week-long mistake. How can you... how can you, for 2 weeks, deny, I'm not going to do it. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'm probably going to do it. Maybe I'll do it. And then say it's a mistake. And I don't know that people are going to be that forgiving.
Is that all it has been, is 2 weeks? Because it seems like we said this last week. It seems like it's much longer than 2 weeks.
Welcome to politics.
No, but I mean, that's the whole point was, if he didn't, this was a bigger mistake than just a two, I mean, it was a 2 week mistake, but it seems much bigger because it seems like it's been longer. Like, that's all they've been talking about. Like, it was such a big issue. And to just say, whoops, made a mistake.
And I think Chris Wallace, by the way, I'll give Chris Wallace credit for asking what most people wouldn't think that Fox News would ask. Why are you really acting presidential by ignoring this? And of course, Mitt Romney had the answer to that. The answer is no, he's not. And, just by admitting, I mean, it's much more than a mistake. It was a very deliberate move, Jeff. And, why doesn't Mitt Romney? I mean, Mitt Romney said the reason he didn't want to release them earlier is because the Democrats would have a heyday with them. Well, they're going to have a heyday with them. You and I talked about this on Friday. Rip the Band-Aid off, dude. Let's just get it over with.
Don't you think right now at this point, though, the word Democrats, when he's in a battle with Newt and when he's in a battle with Santorum and the rest of them, right now the word Democrats is actually code word for all opponents, like Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum.
Probably.
Because, it's funny how he's like, whenever he wants to rip on them, he's trying to, be the nice guy in this and be above the fray and doesn't want to get into the negative stuff or at least seeming like that. So when he wants to attack people who attack him, he calls them Democrats. But he's going after Newt and them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Newt will go after him. I mean, Newt Gingrich was asked, are you gonna tear apart, the return, the tax returns? And Newt Gingrich said, listen, if there's something there, of course we're gonna say something. And if nothing's there, nothing's there. I think what's gonna happen, and I'm pretty confident that once he releases this information tomorrow, there's going to be a clamoring to go back more than just this the two-year period because of the, I don't know, depth of Mitt Romney's career. You know, he considers himself a self-made man, and for all intents and purposes, I have no reason not to believe that. It's just, you know, does, you know, will people be satisfied with those just those 2 years? And I'm going to suggest that the answer is going to be no. And I don't think this tax return issue is going to be over anytime soon for Mitt Romney.
No, I wouldn't think so either. I just think it's something that seems to be pretty important, and maybe that's Mitt's fault because he just his leg got bigger than let it get to a point where it's bigger than it needs to be.
Well, like you said, he made a mistake. By the way, yesterday morning, before we get to the break, yesterday morning, I had posted a story on the film credits, and it got an incredible response on the Facebook page. In fact, the conversation is dribbling now, but still going on the Facebook page. The governor talked with great disdain about the film credits. And why they weren't going to work, even though they were working. And that investment was working and that we were creating real jobs. And I was, again, I'm just blown away by the amount of conversation that created. Really, really incredible. All right, a quick break here. We come back. Governor Rick Snyder, speaking of him, was on Flashpoint with Devin Scillian yesterday. We'll listen to some of what he had to say. It wasn't much better than the state of the state, but certainly worth taking a listen to. My, oh, my. A lot to do. Let's take the break. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trippiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trippiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now, Hanson Clark. If the governor were to call you today and say, hey, Congressman, what is the number one priority I should be focusing on? What would you tell him?
Putting people back to work in the state. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we need. People are feeling very financially insecure. There are folks who are out of work right now. That's why I flew back to Washington, D.C. before Christmas to make sure that we had some unemployment benefits that were extended.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trippiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, I want to remind you, again, we've got in the next hour some great stuff, a dad's conference coming to Detroit. Actually, it's the 12th, and we'll talk in greater detail about that in the next hour. Occupy Detroit as well in the next hour. Mark Brewer in the 8 o'clock hour, so a lot to get to, including our blog roll segment at 8:35. Chris Savage is with us this week. Governor Rick Snyder was on Flashpoint with Devin Scillian yesterday, and in typical fashion, decided to defend himself in the State of the State speech. That's what he had to say.
Assessment. I have a different assessment. And what's the goal of the State of the State is the big question. It's supposed to be a report card, is the way I view it. And so it's important to give a report card. And one of the things I did last year was to say, here's a dashboard. So I thought it important to give some metrics and measures on that. I thought it was very relevant, and it was done in a very thoughtful, structured fashion on 2011 in terms of the chronology of the events. And the fact we got a lot done, I think, should be viewed more as a positive than a negative.
You certainly you did.
All right, and then he goes on to talk about, I'm sorry, I just have such a hard time taking this guy seriously. And before I go on any further, the governor, by the way, says that he may reassess the State of the State, maybe even get rid of it. I had posted this to Facebook as well over the weekend with the comment that he's much more willing to quit than get better at it. Disappointing that he would give up so easily. Anyway, Governor Snyder now talks about 2011 as a foundation setter and what it means to 2012.
Actually, what I did was, this is part of my conscious strategy of looking at the big picture, to say I was looking at 2 years to begin with, where if you looked at 2011, the most important thing was to set the foundation for the future in terms of policy. It was the time to load up, in some sense, on bold policy initiatives, and we did. And then the way I viewed it is 2012 is an election year. So obviously you have a situation where, in terms of accomplishing policy, it's much more difficult. So I really viewed it as, it was actually good timing, though, because it's about implementation. So the way I viewed it is 2011, let's deal with the crisis we face. We were a broken state.
Yeah.
And let's start reinventing Michigan and create the foundation from a policy side. We got much of that done. And the other thing is I also believe if you start something, you finish it, instead of coming up with new things. So there were a number of things later in the year, simply because of time, we didn't have time to get to. So we did really well in terms of getting things done. We had the second half where we had a number of things because of time. They still need time in 2012 to finish. Let's get those done. And then in 2012, finish up those items. Add a couple more that had already signaled that were important, like public safety. And then work on good implementation, because that's a flaw of the public sector too often.
Well, let's see about that. Depending on what political party you belong to, you either are going to agree or disagree with that. Governor Snyder goes on to, once again, those of us that are paying attention to what he's saying, once again, empowering himself to the beautiful and expansively wonderful things that the emergency manager law does for him. Let's go ahead and play that.
It's an infringement on what we think of as the democratic process.
No, it's a good structure. It's major improvement over what we had, because, in fact, it's there to help prevent an EM from happening in many regards. In terms of a big portion of the law, the reform we made over the old law was an early warning system.
All right. So if that were indeed true, and that's all, and it's not all, because we know about the dictatorial powers of the emergency manager for just about, the early warning system, and I doubt many of us would have much of an issue with that, especially if the goal was to make sure that we are trying to prevent an emergency manager. But he goes on to say that his hands-off approach with the emergency manager warning system is the whole goal. Here's what he said.
Well, it's not my court at this point. It's really the review team. And that's something that I'm happy to clarify with people, is I don't interfere with their work at all. I don't give them a direction. I don't point them in a goal. It's laid out
statute. Not much day-to-day contact with it?
No. In fact, I haven't had any contact with them since they've started this process. And basically the way it works is there's a list of things in the statute they're looking for. Our employees not getting their paychecks? Are people not getting paid? I mean, these are really serious things. So they're going through that process to say, are these things happening or not? And are they going to happen in the future or not? And then can they work with the city, hopefully, on coming up with a good plan to support a city plan on how to resolve those issues? So they come basically out and say, none of these things are going on and all's pretty good.
Or all of these things are going on.
Or there's a consent agreement that we can all work together on that's led by the city and we can be supportive of. Or the city has failed to do either one of those first two things and there's a real financial emergency. And they have a 60-day time period to do that. And again, look at the quality of people on that review team that got good reviews.
All right. And so, you know, again, I don't know if he's deliberately trying to make it look like he's hands-off here because he's not. Ultimately, and everybody needs to understand this, ultimately the governor decides whether or not to appoint an emergency manager. He doesn't mention that, though, does he? No. And that's where I don't believe there's full disclosure here.
Doesn't he puts himself in such a good position. If you disagree with it, then you say, he's like, hey, look, it's the committee. I got my hands off on the
right,
situation.
But again, ultimately, he can't say he did say he was hands off, but he can't be because ultimately he makes that decision. Now, I'm sure that the recommendation of that committee factors heavily into his decision, but ultimately it's his and his decision alone. Period.
He just wants to put himself right on the fence so that you can look at it either way. If you like it, then it's like, hey, guess what? I put that in the place, and it's my final decision. But if you don't like it, then hey, blame it on the committee. They're looking at the criteria and doing it for me.
All right. Well, for the sake of time, we will move on. The bridge, the infamous bridge. And it's, you know, one of the few things we actually agree with the governor on. This is what he had to say about wanting to get the bridge project done.
Well, I'm still talking to legislators. I'd like to work with them because that isn't a new fact. That's been there from day one, is my intent was never to use taxpayer dollars.
I can see by the reaction in the legislature that some felt that was a new idea.
It's been there from the beginning, because that's the beauty of the arrangement, is the Canadians would actually pay for our infrastructure costs, and it would be repaid by tolls. And the beauty is the federal matching dollars on top
exactly.
of it.
All right. And again, we all want this. I just don't know when it's going to happen. If he's going to do an end around, do it already. I mean, how much longer do we have to delay this project? Oh, if I were to ask him a question, that would be the question. How much longer? Why does nobody ever ask the obvious questions? I mean, the governor won't come on this show, so I don't get a chance to ask him. I'm just wondering why the rest of the media doesn't ask the obvious questions. When, Governor, when? All right, well, the governor talks about the surplus and his thoughts on the surplus.
No, one of the good things that happened is the economy grew faster than people projected.
Yeah.
So in many respects, that's a good thing.
That is a good
thing. The real question is, and I appreciate your point, is, and I said this, is when you have a surplus, we need to invest wisely and save wisely, not just simply spend the money.
I shouldn't get it back?
Well, again, we should always look at that. But as a practical matter, we do have some pressing needs. One of the things I talked about was transportation, about the need for more funding in transportation. Right. And then I would like to invest more in some areas, education.
Okay. By the way, before we get into we'll ignore for now the education function, and we're going to have some time in the next hour to finish this up. But we need to talk about this metric that he keeps mentioning and investing in education as opposed to funding it. We need to be concerned. We got to get to the break. Tom Fitzpatrick on the other side. Please stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some accidents out there. 96 to Jeffries eastbound after Middle Belt. The two left lanes are blocked there. Traffic is backed up to Merriman. 696 westbound after 11 Mile. An accident there on the left shoulder that's causing delays back to I-94. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain showers likely all day. It's happening right now. Why should it stop? Temperature will rise to around 47 by noon, then drop throughout the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely, cloudy, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high in the lower to mid-30s. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. Lots of strong wind and rain slashing across the southeast. That's what it sounded like in Helena, Arkansas. CNN meteorologist Rob Marciano reports the heart of Alabama is left with a big mess this morning.
We have seen damage north of Tuscaloosa, north of Birmingham, a similar track to the tornadoes that rolled through there last spring, although likely not as strong.
Tornado watches and warnings are spread from southern Louisiana to eastern Tennessee. Fresh off his loss in South Carolina, Mitt Romney's taking aim at Republican presidential rival Newt Gingrich, the man who beat him in Saturday's primary.
We're not choosing a talk show host, all right? We're choosing a leader. We're choosing the person who should be the leader of the free world. And the free world should lead the entire world.
Romney speaking at a rally yesterday in Florida. Florida's primary is 8 days away. Syria's president is rejecting the Arab League's call for a unity government in Syria. The regime calls the plan a, quote, blatant intervention in its internal affairs. Yemen's president is on his way to the U.S. for medical treatment, according to two government sources. President Ali Abdullah Saleh was wounded over the summer in a bomb attack on his presidential palace. The Arizona congresswoman who took a bullet to the head a year ago in a shooting rampage says she'll resign this week. Gabrielle Giffords made the announcement on YouTube.
I have more work to do on my recovery.
Giffords is expected to attend President Obama's State of the Union address tomorrow night. A primary election for her House seat is expected in April. That would likely be followed by a general election in June. I'm Cheryl Castro. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Nelman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Who are you?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
Almost one in three Americans now owns a tablet, an e-reader, or both. Research by the Pew Internet and American Life Project finds the holiday shopping season was shockingly kind to the tablet and e-reader business, as the number of people who owned those devices doubled during the holidays. That after markets plateaued for tablets and e-readers for most of last year. As online shopping becomes an ever bigger part of the retail landscape, traditional retailers are scrambling to hold on to customers. Target is going on the offensive. Wall Street Journal says the chain is talking with vendors to curtail showrooming. That's when people go to a store to try out items, then head home to buy them online from someone else. Target is working on lines of products which would be exclusive to its stores and website, and is testing loyalty programs for customers. European stock markets are edging back higher following earlier losses. S&P futures right now positive by 3 points. NASDAQ futures gaining 6. Dow futures up 34. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices. Like when you buy a case of X9 paper for $41.99, you get $41.98 back in Max Perks bonus rewards. It's like paying one penny for a full case of paper. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. But please, don't step on our elephant. Limit 2. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano back with you in the 7 o'clock hour, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. In fact, on this Monday, January 23rd, 2012, I've got a, in this first segment, I'm really going to talk to you about a wonderful opportunity for a lot of people, everybody, but mostly, most specifically dads. And my interest in this actually is very deep. I have a lot of friends. I'm fortunate enough that my wife and I are still married. We've raised three wonderful kids, and life is good. I know lots of dads that come from broken homes, and I mean that, you know, they either got divorced or whatever the situation might be, they're separated. And they unfortunately start to lose some of their power of parenting. They start to lose their connection to their children. And it's not because it's what they wanted. It's not because they walked away. It's because I believe the legal system is biased against dads, to be honest with you. And there's a group out there that's doing some pretty amazing work. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. I'll explain that more in just a moment. A little bit later on in the hour, of course, we'll be checking in with the Occupy Detroit folks. And we do have a little time for open lines as well, and we're going to get to some more audio from Governor Snyder, who was on Flashpoint yesterday morning. Let me turn my attention, though, to my next guest. Tom Fitzpatrick joins us now. Tom is a former teacher and attorney and as a couples counselor and men's therapist at the Center for Creative Living in Royal Oak. He is co-founder of the annual Midwest Fathers Conference, now in its 12th year. As a board member of the nonprofit organization Partnership for Dads, he has also established the Fathers Forum, a monthly support group for fathers, and co-founded the Fathers Fest, a yearly event where fathers come together to celebrate their fathers and grandfathers. He holds a bachelor's degree from Holy Cross College in Worcester, Massachusetts, a master's degree from Wayne State University, and a law degree from the University of Detroit. His message is to help men get more power, passion, and purpose in their lives. And I would think that the 2012 Fathers Conference entitled Iron Dad, love that title, is a step in that direction. And Tom Fitzpatrick, I want to welcome you to First Shift. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
You know, Tom, do you find that, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe the courts treat dads more equally than I'm seeing it, but I'm not seeing it that way. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, Tony, and it's something that really needs to be changed, and I'm told that it's changing slowly, but much too slowly. I know so many dads, Tony, who are just feel alienated by this whole process, and they end up being pushed aside and not having contact with their children as much as they would like or as the children need, and even worse, oftentimes being subject to what's known as parental alienation syndrome, which I think you can infer what it means from the title. Children are turned against their dads by their perhaps their mother or other relatives. And it all turns out, you know, just very poorly for the not only for the dads, but even more so for the kids. So, but I think things are changing with the courts, and that's a good thing. But it's not, like I said, not as quickly as we would all want.
All right. Well, let me before we talk more specifically about the conference, I want to make sure that we let people know if you go to the web partnershipfordads.org. Is that the website?
That's correct, Tony. That's it. Yeah.
If you go there, you're going to find the information on how to register. By the way, the registration fee is $29 if you do it in advance.
$29 if you do it in advance. It's $40 at the door. And registering in advance, if three men register as a package, they can get it for $60, which is $20 a person.
Yeah. So, and we'll make sure that we get this posted to the Facebook page for those that are on their way to work and can't write this stuff down. But partnershipfordads.org is the website that you're going to find out all this information. You know, this conference is in its Tom Fitzpatrick is in its 12th year. Tell me about the growth of the conference over the last 12 years.
Well, in 2000, I heard about a couple, Drew and Kimber Yankee, who were planning to put on this thing and looking for folks to help them. And so I got a hold of them, and we sat down and started to plan it. Two other people, Roger McPhail and Peggy Hahn, came in. She's from the Community House, and I think everybody knows Roger, Sharon McPhail's brother, who's very active with children in the community. So we planned it. We put it on at the Birmingham Community House the first year. We had, I think, four speakers. We had about 150 men, perhaps. And it's basically it's a keynote speech that sets the theme for the day, and then it's a number of speakers that men can choose to go to hear what they have to say about fathering. Over the years, we've done one every year. This is the 12th one, and over the years, it's developed. It's larger, more speakers. We have a nicer venue, a beautiful venue at the Oakland Schools building out on Telegraph Road across from the courthouse. So,
all right. You know, and I think it's important that we kind of talk about the purpose of you know, the Iron Dad is the theme this year. What does that mean? What do we translate that, Tom Fitzpatrick, into meaning for us?
Well, I love the theme. The other couple of the other fellows in the community came up with it, and basically, excuse me, it's a reference to the Marvel Comics character Iron Man. Also, of course, Robert Downey's character in the recent movie, Iron Man. You know, Iron Man started out as a regular guy and then became transformed into a superhero who actually has all the traits that we need for dads to have. He was strong. He was compassionate. He's very reliable. Serves by leading, which is a real key trait for a dad to have. He puts others over himself and, in fact, turned out to be willing to lay down his life for others. So, you know, we looked at all these traits and said, yeah, this works. This is what we want. We want a guy, want our dads to be the rock in the family, you know, to serve by leading, to be a man with a plan. I tell men, you need to be team captain of this family, not a tyrant or a controller, but a leader. And surprisingly, you might think that they would object, but women love that. Most women, when I talk with couples and I ask them if they would like their husband to be team captain, they just grin and they say, yeah, that's what I want. I want him to lead the family.
Well, you know, and I think that Tom Fitzpatrick, more than anything, these are conversations we don't really have publicly much anymore. And sadly, I think that's true, you know, that we're even having this discussion now. I stop and think And I was thinking about this yesterday. When was the last time I heard, something that was pro-dad? When was the last time I read something in the major media that was pro-dad? And nothing comes to mind, Tom. I mean, right. Nothing at all.
That's right. Well, a big part of what inspired me to do this was, what I was seeing in men, in dads, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were pushed to the side. They were marginalized. They were judged as, uncaring and incompetent, and they felt unappreciated and not respected and not valued. It's the Homer Simpson syndrome. And, at the same time, I've never met a man, Tony, who didn't love his kids passionately and longing for more connection and really wanting to give the unique gifts that they have to parenting. They knew they had them somehow, somewhere, deep down, but they weren't given the opportunity to give them. And I wanted to bring men together to talk about this and change it. And I hope it's changing. I think it is a little bit. We still have the, what I call the Homer Simpson syndrome or the Dagwood Bumstead syndrome going on in the media. And, the dad's always often made out to be the buffoon. And so we want to change all that, Tony.
Well, and we need to change all that, Tom. More than wanting to, we need to. And I would hope that the 2012 Fathers Conference, the Iron Dad Conference, will be a big step in that direction. Let me remind everybody again, the conference is Saturday, January 28th at 8. It starts at 8 a.m., goes to 3:30 at the Oakland Schools Building on Pontiac Lake Road in Waterford. If you go to partnershipfordads.org, you're going to get all the information you need, including the cost, all of the deals that are available, especially the discounted price if you register in advance. If there are three of you go, it's even a deeper discount, so you'll want to check that out as well. And again, all of this stuff can be found at partnershipfordads.org. So you just need to go there and all of the information will be there. And I'd like to think, Tom, before we let you go, that this would be the beginning of perhaps, a dad's getting engaged in there's a support group that meets on a monthly basis. Maybe this will help to grow that a little bit. The dads supporting dads, probably something we need right now.
Well, that's the idea, Tony. I run that group myself, and it's very powerful and very gratifying to see the way men who are strangers really come together and open up and talk about fathering and all the challenges. It's a good thing.
All right. Well, we're going to get all this information up on our Facebook page, which is where people are going to go find it. And Tom Fitzpatrick, I wish you the best of luck on the 28th of January. This just sounds like something that people need to do, and I want to thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Tony.
You bet. My pleasure. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and got a lot more to get to. It is 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. First Shift will continue right after this.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at an accident, 96 to Jeffries eastbound after Middle Belt Road. Two left lanes are blocked, so traffic is backed up to before Merriman. 96 eastbound before Wixom Road. We have an accident there on the left shoulder causing some gawker delays. I'm Russ in traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain showers obviously going to stick around most of the day. Some thunder is possible in there as well. The temperature will rise to around 47 by noon, but then drop the rest of the day, leading to some snow showers tonight. Cloudy, a low around 27. Tuesday, chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high in the lower 30s. Right now it's raining and foggy. at Detroit City Airport.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Woo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chilling. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.ca, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement, now that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
In business, every day is a compromise between what you want and what your budget will allow. Face it, compromise stinks. But with Staples and HP, you don't have to compromise your printing with no-name cartridges. Switch to original HP and get up to $30 in Staples rewards. Just recycle up to 3 HP generic cartridges and buy HP ink or toner on the same day. That's $10 in rewards for each cartridge recycled. Switch to HP. The number one brand in printing is the number one value. Staples. That was easy. One time only. Offer ends 2/25/12.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Welcome back. It is the 23rd day of January 2012, a Monday, and I'm sure you all know that. I don't know what's happened to the weather since I got in here. I think that the heavy rain has probably moved off a little bit, but man, was it an interesting commute. Just very quickly back to our conversation with Tom Fitzpatrick. I got to tell you, I still think, you know, and I'm glad that we covered this conference. I hope some of you will actually be able to get out there and take advantage of what they're doing, because it's a very worthy kind of thing. I just think dad's taking bad rap, to be honest with you. I know way too many of them that are, unfortunately, are disconnected from their children because of antiquated laws that say that moms are necessarily better parents than dads. And I don't necessarily believe that's true. Not all the time, anyway. And it's a shame that some dads suffer as a result of that. So I hope that people have a chance to get out to that conference on the 28th of January. Again, we're going to get it up on the Facebook page, unless it's already there, which it is. So go ahead and check it out. Just go to Facebook, search for First Shift, and go ahead and check it out. Partnership for Dads is what you're looking for. All right, Jeff, on Saturday night, I decided, Ann and I decided to go see the, I don't know if you saw the commercials or the trailer for the new Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock movie, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I've heard crazy things about it.
Crazy things?
Well, just people have said that they wanted to go see it. I've never even seen the promo for it, but I've heard a lot of people saying that they were going to go check it out.
Well, you know, we did. We did go see it on Saturday. I happened to like it a great deal. I liked it a lot more than Ann. Maybe that's not entirely fair. Ann liked it. She thought it got better as it went on. I kind of liked it from the beginning. It was really well done, and for those of you that aren't, just very quickly, the premise is Tom Hanks is killed on 9/11, and it's how Sandra Bullock, who is his wife and the mother of their son, who is the central character in this movie, how they deal with it. The son has challenges, emotional challenges, beyond just Tom Hanks dying. Before that even happens, so the movie basically starts off, you know, with us understanding that this young man does have some emotional challenges. It was really, really well done. But the reason I bring it up, Jeff, is that we were leaving the theater, and I was a little astounded by people's reaction to the movie. Two couples that we overheard in the lobby as we were walking out to the parking lot, you know, one of them just didn't like them. One set that didn't like the movie at all, just didn't like it, were stunned by it. The other couple actually said that they couldn't believe that Tom Hanks or Sandra Bullock would attach their name to a movie like this. And that they thought that the movie would, quote-unquote, be fun. And I'm saying to myself, how the hell is a movie about 9/11 going to be fun?
I've heard that not the exact same reaction, but the thought that, you know, why would they attach their names to something like this, and that it was different than what people expected going into it. And again, it's, you know, much like what you said, I don't... How can you go into it thinking that?
Well, the basic premise of the movie is this, and I'm not giving anything away. This kid finds a key, and as a result of finding this key, he goes on a quest to figure out if it has more significance to him and to Tom Hanks than Tom Hanks let him know before he died. All right? So that's basically the premise. And so I'm assuming what people are saying to themselves is, well, this adventure that this kid goes on to find out what this key means was going to be fun. Well, I mean, there is some humor in there, but it's adult, and I don't mean in a negative way. It's adult. It's more mature humor, and it's not juvenile humor, certainly in any way. And it was to me, the movie really was quite touching. And built on, emotionally, really kind of, you know, beat you up. I don't mind telling you, I shed a couple tears, especially the last 10 minutes of that movie were very difficult to watch, because the reality of what this young man had to deal with, comes full circle, and you have to experience it. But I was just stunned by the audience, though. The audience reaction, at least the two couples that we had an unfortunate circumstance to overhear in the lobby, I was stunned. I'm thinking to myself, really, what the hell were you expecting? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. It's, you know, the movie's about 9/11. How do you expect it to be fun and frolicky? Just don't know how that's going to happen. It was anyway, I would highly recommend the movie, but that's just me. And again, Ann didn't like it. I shouldn't say that. Ann liked the movie very much. She thought it took a while to get going. I didn't mind that it started slow, and it does start slow. I didn't mind that. I thought it helped to build her crescendo. And there are lots of subplots in it which were really exquisitely done and well-directed, and the script was really sensational. So if you get a chance, go see the movie. Really, really, I know you don't get to the movies much, but if you do, go. I would recommend it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was really well done. I don't really quite get the name. I mean, I do know at the end of the movie it kind of explains the name of the movie, but not entirely. So maybe if somebody saw it and understands it better than I did, which is always very possible. Feel free to clue me in, because I don't claim to know it all. That's for damn sure. I definitely don't claim to know it all. Very quickly before we get to the break, and then I want, when we come back, I want to spend a little more time on Governor Snyder's appearance on Flashpoint yesterday. But for those of you that did not have a chance to read in yesterday's Free Press, News and Free Press, because it's a combined edition on the weekend, the article on human trafficking, I really want to recommend that you go back and read that. It was haunting. Haunting. What I read, it happened to be the first, I get the paper awfully early in the morning. It happened to be the first article I read yesterday. And it really blew my mind. In fact, the headline of the article is human trafficking is growing almost as fast as the drug trade. Stop and think about the gravity of that statement. And human trafficking is exactly what you think it is. Horrifying what some of these people have been through. And I just found it absolutely stunning that it's happening. And not only is it happening on an international scale, it's happening on a local level. And it was just, it was frightening. It was absolutely frightening to read what I read and experienced what, you know, just the chilling effects of this article were just amazing to me. So if you didn't get a chance to read it, I really want to recommend the human trafficking article and yesterday's combined edition of the Detroit News and Free Press. A quick break here. When we come back, we'll take a listen to a little more of Governor Rick Snyder's appearance on Flashpoint on Channel 4 yesterday. And a little bit later on, Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift. It happens every day at 7:50, and it will happen today. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break and be right back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. 96 to Jeffries eastbound after Middlebelt. That accident has cleared. So some good news. 96 eastbound before Wixom Road. Saw that accident there in the left shoulder. It's causing some delays. 696 westbound between Mound and 75. We'll find some slowdowns there. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the poppable Chicken McBites. Made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. It won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service today. Rain showers, yes, they're happening right now, and they should stick around throughout much of the day. The temperature will rise to around 47 by noon, then drop the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely. The temperature will bottom out around 27 degrees. Tonight, Tuesday, chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, otherwise a high near 34. Right now, it's raining and foggy and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. On Saturday, GOP voters in South Carolina chose former House Speaker Newt Gingrich as the best candidate to take on President Barack Obama in the November election contest. One area where Gingrich will have difficulty debating the current president will be on an individual mandate for health insurance. Gingrich, like former candidate Herman Cain, has consistently touted Chile's Social Security system as the model of choice for replacing our current system. However, what the former speaker has so far failed to address is that the system is essentially the Social Security equivalent of Obama's health care plan. Gingrich told debate viewers that Chile's system is totally voluntary, which, in fact, is totally inaccurate. According to Jose Pinera, one of the architects of Chile's pension system, the system mandates that all workers must contribute 10% of their income to government-approved retirement accounts, up to $250 per month. Until 2008, only about two-thirds of Chileans were covered under the system. In order to address the massive gap of Chileans not receiving retirement, pension reforms were introduced that year that now require the government to cover individuals who fail to contribute or can't afford to contribute. The government also has a minimum guarantee, and if a retiree falls short of that guarantee, the Chilean government will make sure the difference is covered. In addition, the government heavily regulates the mandated insurance companies. Under those regulations, the companies cannot participate in any activity other than managing the fund and are required to maintain low-risk portfolios.
Much of the architecture of Chile's Social Security mandate is emulated by both Mitt Romney's health care plan in Massachusetts and Obama's national health care reforms. If the Supreme Court rules in April that the Affordable Health Care Act's mandate is unconstitutional, it would be difficult for Gingrich, if elected president, to bring Chile's Social Security model to the United States. After 66 days on strike, workers at Manitowoc Crane in Wisconsin are returning to work in what could be considered a new day for the United States for workers having the right to collectively bargain. The workers voted 112-59 in favor of a contract that includes language that allows employees to opt out of paying union dues. That vote came not due to workers agreeing to the language, but instead the ability of the company to wait out workers who are trying to keep families fed and homes heated.
Rights under attack. What do we do?
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano with you. Governor Rick Snyder was on Flashpoint with Devin Scillian yesterday, Sunday, and talked about a variety of issues. The surplus, which, of course, is of great interest to many of us. We've talked about it on the show extensively. This is what Governor Snyder had to say about the surplus.
No, one of the good things that happened is the economy grew faster than people projected. Yeah. So in many respects, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
The real question is, and I appreciate your point, is, and I said this, is when you have a surplus, we need to invest wisely and save wisely, not just simply spend the money.
I shouldn't get it back?
Well, again, we should always look at that, but as a practical matter, we do have some pressing needs. One of the things I talked about was transportation, about the need for more funding in transportation, and then I would like to invest more in some areas, education.
All right, transportation. Is that the same as roads? I don't think so. Okay, Governor Snyder did go on to talk about funding for roads, and by the way, we're going to split this a little bit later on. We're going to talk about another piece that you will be interested in because the cost will, skyrocket for some things that are already pretty damned expensive. Here's the governor on funding of the roads.
Because we should be funding our roads based on where the traffic is and where the commercial activity is, and that's not what we're doing today.
Yeah.
In addition to saying we need more dollars to invest in our roads, and that's an interesting case about the public sector. If you look at it as a one-year discussion or a two- or three-year discussion, you can say, well, I hate that idea. But the right time frame to analyze this is about a 20-year time frame. And what I can tell you, over 20 years, by investing smartly now with best practices and doing this consistently, it would actually save us all money, and particularly not dump a problem on our kids, because if you have a road go bad and you got to bring it back to good or fair, it costs you a whole lot more money.
Right.
Yeah. The classic non-answer. And then next on education funding, which... Pay attention, because this is where it gets problematic.
Well, I would like to, again, invest more. So simply not spend money, but to say, how can we look at student growth? Best practice criteria, like we do in every area, and we should look in every area. And I said that actually before the State of the State. What I did in the State of the State was more a report card, not the budget presentation. So on February 9th, I'll be doing a budget presentation, because you shouldn't piecemeal budget. When you're doing it at home, if you start giving out pieces here, pieces there, you add them all up, they may not add. So I think it's more important.
We've seen that at work before, sure.
Yeah, so I wanted to do it thoughtfully in a comprehensive discussion in February to say, here is the surplus, here was our prioritization, here's our recommendation of how that should be deployed.
The other thing that we're going to...
Okay. Again, you know, whenever something's tied to something else, you need to be very cautious. You know, the governor talks about this, the budget coming out on February 9th, and I guess we don't have a choice but to wait. But pay attention to the discussion between now and then is all I'm saying. And last but not least, the governor, of course, talked about crime, especially in four specific communities, and he'd like to see an investment in curtailing that crime. This is what he had to say.
Correct.
Yeah, Flint, Pontiac, Saginaw, Detroit are four of the most violent cities in the U.S., and that's not a good answer. We need to do something, and so we're going to do a public safety message in early March about increased law enforcement, reforms in criminal justice, and jobs. Those are the three major legs that I believe we can support our local communities.
All of which would seem, not all of which, but certainly the increased law enforcement is going to require money, right?
Yeah. And that's something that I want to recommend we make that investment to support the cities in greatest need and other places in greatest need.
Lastly, if you had one thing that you'd say you got to get done this year, what is it?
Continue relentless positive action and get more Michiganders to join. RPA. It's about culture change.
Relentless positive action. I'm all for thinking positively, folks. Don't take that the wrong way. That's not the solution. All right, this next piece, I'm going to play the audio first and then come back to it because this is problematic for us. The story on Fox 2 on what Governor Snyder, how the governor would pay for the roads. You see, that investment actually is going to come out of your pocket. Here we go.
The governor in his State of the State message this week did not tell motorists that he wants to hike their registration fees by a hefty 60%. The governor believes the state's sagging and crumbling infrastructure requires $1.4 billion now, and he'll ask you to help. Mike Nystrom from the road building industry figures the 60% increase will generate $500 million.
The registration fee could, on average, go up about $60.
So, and based on what?
Well, the current average is about $100. The larger, more expensive vehicles would pay more, and some of the lower-end, older vehicles may actually pay less.
Nystrom contends in the long run, you'll actually save money, because if the roads get better, your car repair costs will go down.
If we make improvements to our system, they won't pay as much over time to repair shocks, struts, and that type of stuff.
How much are they paying now?
On average, over $300 per driver in Michigan.
None of this, of course, will happen unless and until lawmakers say yes. And in the Michigan House, everybody is running for re-election. And critics will call this not a fee increase, but a tax hike. And who wants to run on that? Yet, Mr. Nystrom is optimistic on its chances.
He's 75%, feeling pretty good about it.
Easy for him to say, he's not running for re-election. In Lansing, Tim Skubick, Fox 2 News.
Yeah, and that really is the key to that. By the way, the piece that the newspaper covered that this audio did not was that it wouldn't just be vehicle registration fees increased by 60%, but a 9 cent per gallon gas tax. 9 cents per gallon would go to increase would go toward funding of road repairs. So we're talking about a 60% increase in vehicle registration fees, which, by the way, are pretty damned high to begin with. Those of you that, you know, go to renew your plates know what I'm talking about. All right. Add 9 cents a gallon to gas. And by the way, the report out this weekend that gas will be up to $4 a gallon by summer. Add another 9 cents to that, and now you're talking about $4.09, $4.10, $4.12 for a gallon of gas come the beginning of the summer months if this falls through the legislature like it probably will. Now, of course, the Republicans have the votes to do this without seeking Democrat support. The issue is, and this, you know, and Skubick did touch on it, was in an election year, will even Republicans who have to run for re-election, will they vote for a tax increase? Because the net effect of this is a tax increase. Even though the money's going for roads, it is a tax increase. And will people see it as anything but that? That is the question. That is the question. Problematic, at least. And this is the problem with not having these discussions publicly. And that's why when the governor does the State of the State and excludes stuff and says we're going to save it for, and I assure you he's not saving this conversation for the budget discussion on February 9th. He is not, because we wouldn't be having the conversation now. If he really wanted to hide this conversation, it would be hidden. It would be. But Governor Snyder is looking to really put a substantial tax increase on everybody, Republicans and Democrats alike. And it's problematic, especially the 9 cents a gallon on gasoline. It just doesn't get any better. It just doesn't get any better. You know, some asked, you know, why don't we have toll roads here in Michigan? And I don't have the answer to that, and maybe that is the answer. I'm not saying it isn't, and I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. But I don't believe that the answer is a 60% increase on vehicle registration fees and 9 cents a gallon on gas. I've mentioned it a couple times now, so I'm just going to dive right in. The governor was, as we did on this show, was highly criticized with the state of the state. The governor says that he doesn't really care, number one, because he knows people were disappointed. He said he expected people to be disappointed. But he says that he may just drop the state of the state because it's unnecessary. He's open to the idea of dropping the formal setting and the ceremonial speech, as he called it, in favor of a more direct interaction with his constituents. Let me quote the governor. He says, "The hoopla is not what gets me excited. In a perfect world, I would rather have a statewide citizens' town hall because I want to hear what's on people's minds and be able to answer." Sure you do. I'm sure that everybody would have to be vetted before they would be able to ask a question. Anyway. My disgust here is that instead of just understanding that he needs to get better at it, you know, going out and hiring a coach or two, he's decided that it's easier to quit, which is no way to lead by example, especially with our young people in the state of Michigan. I think the young people in the state of Michigan are going to be fairly disappointed with the governor if he decides to shorten the state of the state address. I don't know. It's just one of those things that really rubbed me the wrong way when I read it. And once I posted it to Facebook, the reaction there was pretty strong as well. Understandably, pretty strong, because it shows that the governor's quitting. I understand he's not the greatest orator in the world, but he can get help with it. He can get help with it. I think that the state of the state's important is an important address. It needs to stay an address. Wouldn't you agree? I can't fathom that, folks, you would disagree with that. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Occupy Detroit will be joining us, and we actually have some difficult news to share with you this morning, and I'm hoping that you're going to be able to help us out a little bit, because Occupy Detroit now needs your help once again, and once you hear what's going on, you'll understand why. So stay right where you're at. You know, again, you're always welcome to join us, folks. Just try to stay topical to the guest, and we're good to go. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's take the quick break here. Eric Shelley with Occupy Detroit when we continue.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is, Bob Pecano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Pecano's never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill, and I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Chip with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it is that time, and I want to wish y'all a good morning, but a special good morning to Eric Shelley, who joins us from Occupy Detroit. Eric, my friend, it's a pleasure to have you on this morning, although I have to tell you, a bittersweet appearance this morning, as I understand that the Golden Gate Restoration Project has taken a substantial hit, and you need our help.
Yeah, I wish I could always come back with good news, but we are in a hostile environment, so sometimes these things are going
to
happen.
Now, let's explain to the audience what's going on, Eric, and let's see if we can't help you correct some of this.
Well, broadly speaking, the Golden Gate Restoration Project is fixing up abandoned houses on Golden Gate, one block west of John R., and we've given some homeless people a place to stay while they fix up the places and try and bring community together to shore up the damage done by foreclosures. However, on Thursday night, Friday morning, sometime between 7 and 4 a.m., we estimate somebody broke into the White House, which is like our main staging area. They took all of the power tools and, most importantly, our electric generator.
Well, that is, of course, profoundly disappointing to hear. And, listen, it, as you said, sometimes, I mean, this is a hostile situation. And, you know, no matter what our intent is, Eric Shelley, you know, not everybody has the same intent that we do. So now we need to rally the troops. Let's not be too terribly down here. Obviously, you know, the last time we talked, I think that we were at seven properties and counting. Which is incredibly good news, but of course, in order to continue to grow this project, we need to replace the stuff that was stolen.
Yeah, well, the first thing I think we need to do is to board up the 1 week spot in the house. We've had a padlock on the front door, and we bolted the back door, and I'm proud to say those two things held up very nicely. They had a crowbar in that lock, and they worked it, and couldn't get in. But they found a weakness on the basement window and snapped a piece of plywood in half and went right in.
Wow.
It was only as strong as we can find.
Well, okay. So we need to all double, triple, quadruple our efforts and make sure that that we shore up that home, but more importantly, that let's talk about what you need. You need donations. Obviously, money, we can do that. But beyond money, what can we do?
Well, the power tools, I guess, were really critical to doing anything. If we're going to cut a board or nail up a piece of plywood, we're going to need those tools back. The generator was extremely useful. Not only did it, you know, allow us to generate electricity, but also allowed us to be mobile and work our way up and down the block.
Yeah, that would be critical. I just, you know, again, when I got the note this morning that this is, Eric, this is what we were going to be talking about, you know, my heart went out to you because I know this isn't about you, but I also know, Eric, that, you know, you've put a lot of your personal time, energy, and effort and passion into the Golden Gate Restoration Project, and it just, you know, and I know how hard you're working, and I don't know how much you're sacrificing, and I realize that the Occupy movement isn't about individual accomplishment. I understand that, but at the same time, Eric, you know, it is personal for me. I mean, I associate you with that project for very good reason. You've spearheaded it. You've really made it to something that we can all be very proud of, and so it breaks my heart to see that you have to. That you have to deal with this unfortunate situation today. If people have, obviously, any kind of power tools, if they have a, you know, anything that you might need, is it, again, what's the best way to get this stuff to you?
Well, we have two ways to donate. A, go directly to the Golden Gate Restoration Project. The library is the gray house next to the White House. And that's where the guys are living. It's 136 Golden Gate. We knock on the door and tell the guys you have a donation. They'll open up and gladly accept it. Also, the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park is another donation area. That's roughly 696 and 75, but in Hazel Park.
Gotcha. And then, of course, people can also go to occupy-detroit.us. And donate money there that, you know, that they can, obviously you can take that cash and go out and buy some of the stuff you need. You know, that's another way to do it. But whatever's going to be most convenient for people, it's just, again, it's just a little heartbreaking, Eric, that you find yourself, and I can't even imagine what it must have been like for you to show up the day after this happened to see that all that stuff was taken.
Yeah, well, it's a setback. We can't let it stop us. You know, when we're under attack, we stand up, fight back. And you know, just like the folks in on Wall Street, when they lost their electricity, they got out bicycles and generated their own. We're gonna find something. We're gonna find a way to overcome this. This is not gonna stop us.
Well, good. I mean, you know, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. So, if anybody has, again, power tools, if you have. Any donations of plywood, nails, screws, you know, that if you have a generator, you know, whatever it is that you feel that you can donate to the process, do it because we now need your help. And again, things were going along swimmingly. And again, this is a speed bump, but that's all it is. And I appreciate Eric. I appreciate your optimism in this. Because you're right, it is just a detour, but it doesn't need to be one that stops us from ultimately doing what it is that was being accomplished there. And I want to remind people the last conversation we had, Eric, about, you know, what beyond shoring up some of these homes and you know, making them safe for other people, it was about occupying these homes. But ultimately, the conversation we had was about building community, and that's ultimately what we need to be mindful of. This is about the Golden Gate Restoration Project is about building community above everything else. That's what this is about.
Right, right. Saving the houses is the easy part. Saving souls is the tricky part.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, brother, if there's, again, anything more that we can do, we will. Folks, if you need any more, anything clarified on this, let me know, and we'll make sure that we find a way to get the stuff that you have to the Golden Gate Restoration Project. Eric Shelley, thanks so much for being with us today. I'm sorry that you went through this, but you're right. This is just a speed bump. And hopefully the good people in this audience who have been so good to the Occupy Detroit movement in the past will come through for us again.
I appreciate it, Tony. And if your listeners are ever in a resale shop or see a generator with a blue framer on it, have them give me a call. It might be ours. Oh, possibly we can get that.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric. And again, sorry that you had to go through this. We need to take a very quick break for the top of the hour. Mark Brewer, we continue. Chris Savage as well in the next hour. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We are accident-free for the moment. That's a good thing. 96 eastbound between Kensington Road and Beck Road. It's slow through that entire stretch. 696 westbound between Bunnert and I-75. That's a long stretch that's all backed up as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain showers. Yes, they're going to stick around most of the day. The temperature will rise to around 47 degrees by noon, then drop throughout the rest of the day. Breezy winds as well out of the west-southwest. Snow showers are likely this evening and tonight. Cloudy, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries, a high in the lower to mid-30s. Right now, it's raining and foggy, 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. Mitt Romney will try to turn the tide back in his favor this week as the Republican presidential contest moves to Florida. He'll release his tax returns tomorrow, and he's targeting his top rival. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Washington with the latest. Bob?
Well, Cheryl, Romney used to leave the harsh words for surrogates and a political action committee that's backing him, but now with the dogfight in Florida looming and Newt Gingrich having momentum after South Carolina, Romney is on the attack himself. In Ormond Beach, Florida, Gingrich's time as Speaker of the House gets a bad review.
At the end of 4 years, it was proven that he was a failed leader, and he had to resign in disgrace. I don't know whether you knew that. He actually resigned after 4 years in disgrace.
That's twice for good measure. Gingrich resigned in 1998, days after Republicans lost House seats while marching toward impeaching Bill Clinton. Cheryl?
And just 8 days to go before Florida's primary. President Obama will try to score some political points of his own. Aides say his State of the Union address Tuesday night will be a blueprint for the middle class with details on job creation. Severe storms sweep across the southeast and Midwest. Multiple tornadoes are possible from Alabama to Illinois. The National Weather Service's John Lewis says residents face other dangers.
In addition to tornadoes, we've had up to baseball-sized hail in a few areas as well.
Major damage is reported, but no deaths so far. The death toll is up to 13 off the coast of Tuscany as two more bodies are found in the wreckage of the Costa Concordia cruise ship. The head of the rescue operation will meet the prosecutor in the case today. A Mississippi judge will review today those controversial pardons made by former Governor Haley Barbour. Four convicted murderers were among those. The state attorney general says some of those pardons violate the state constitution. The pardons have provoked outrage among victims' families. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
A few years ago, you may recall it seemed like everyone got a GPS unit under the tree. Turns out this last holiday was the e-reader and tablet holiday. Research by the Pew Center finds almost a third of Americans own tablets, e-readers, or hybrids such as the Kindle Fire. The number of us owning those devices doubled during the holiday shopping season. A change at the top for the BlackBerry maker. Under pressure from shareholders to step down, the co-CEOs of Research in Motion have now done so. They had led the company for more than 20 years, creating a device so popular and addictive it was nicknamed the CrackBerry. But over the past few years, the company quickly has lost market share to rival Apple and Android devices. The new boss, a former executive at Siemens, will spearhead a complete revamp of the BlackBerry Playbook tablet, which has been a major sales disappointment. Stock futures are higher, cautiously, to kick off a new week following a strong one for the markets. S&P futures up 1, NASDAQ futures up 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at Office Max, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices. Like when you buy a case of X9 paper for $41.99, you get $41.98 back in Max Perks bonus rewards. It's like paying one penny for a full case of paper. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. But please don't step on our elephant. Limit 2. Offer in Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning, January 23rd, 2012. You know, listen to what that open says. It says, are you ready to join us? Not, are you ready to follow us? And there's a big difference between joining and following. It involves action, and it's that time. It truly is that time. You know, we watched the primary in South Carolina on Saturday night. It is, again, once again, a reminder of the work that we have in front of us, and we do have some heavy lifting to do. Welcome back. Appreciate you being with us this morning. If you're just joining us, good morning to you. Please be safe and careful out there. If you've been with us for a while, we'll appreciate you hanging with us this morning on First Shift. We have a lot to get to in this hour. In fact, we're going to go ahead and get started right away. Guys, give me my intro and let's get rolling.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
But there was some hope at the beginning of the year that Snyder was a moderate. But in fact, he has proposed and signed legislation that John Engler never even considered when he was governor 10 years ago. He does it with a smile, but believe me, the quality of government here is far worse.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And we welcome back to the show, indeed, the captain himself. Captain, my captain, great to have you with us on this Monday morning. Appreciate you being with us this morning.
Morning, Tony from Petoskey. Glad to be with you.
Well, you know, we should let people know that you are beginning your Northern Michigan tour. So give us a little idea what that's all about, Mark.
Well, Tony, this has become kind of a tradition over the years where we take a week in the winter and visit the Democrats in northern Michigan and particularly in the Upper Peninsula. I'm up there fairly often, but they really appreciate people coming up and visiting in the winter. So we've got a very full week, lots of interviews with your colleagues in the press and media business, meetings with about a dozen of the local parties, and meetings with a lot of candidates. So I'm looking forward to a very productive week in northern Michigan.
What if you don't mind sharing, Mark, what cities do you anticipate visiting as you work your way through this week?
Oh, boy, let's see. Let me try to do this. We got Mackinac City this morning, then St. Ignace, Escanaba, up to Ontonagon and Ironwood, and then over to Houghton Hancock, Marquette, Munising, Newberry, and Sault Ste. Marie. I think I've got them all, Tony.
No, yeah, that's the list I have, Mark. That's an ambitious list, Mark. Obviously, you enjoy it or you wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, no, these are wonderful people in northern Michigan, Tony. Great Democrats. This is a very important area to us. This year, we want to beat Dan Benishek, the Tea Party congressman up here. There are several state House seats that we want to win back. It'll be very important for Senator Stabenow and President Obama as well. So that's why we take the time to do this.
Well, no, we often, especially those of us here in Southeast Michigan, although I have the benefit of the technology that we employ for the show, whether it's through iHeartRadio or the podcasting we do or being able to listen live on the website, you know, we also have a lot of listeners in northern Michigan that, as you know, Mark, when my show was syndicated statewide, I had a lot of listeners in Petoskey and other parts of the state. So we, you know, we are very fortunate that we do have a nice listening base throughout the state. I just think it's very exciting that you're doing this, and why not? You know, since we last talked, the Governor Rick Snyder has given his State of the State address, and there's been a lot of reaction to it. I haven't heard yours yet, Mark Brewer. Tell us, what do you think?
Well, Tony, I gotta tell you, I agree with virtually everybody out there on a bipartisan basis. It was one of the worst, if not the worst, State of the State people ever heard. Just poorly delivered. I was in the audience, and I was watching my watch. The first 30 minutes, Tony, were nothing but thank yous and statistics. And it didn't get much better after that. Hardly any substantive proposals, saying things like, well, the legislature should hold hearings on this, or we should consider that. I mean, no vision, certainly no inspiration. It was a terrible speech, just a terrible speech.
Well, you know, and the governor says in his reaction to that, Mark, and I'd actually like to hear what you think about this. His reaction to that has been, first of all, he expected people to respond the way they did, but then he goes a little further by saying, you know, and maybe he's not going to do a State of the State anymore. Maybe he'll do something like a town hall meeting, that there's nothing that compels him to do it in the way that it's been done in the past. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I just think that's ridiculous, Tony. I mean, the answer to the problem is give a better speech, right? Have some content, deliver it. I mean, it's an opportunity to speak to the citizens as well as to the legislature on a statewide basis in terms of your agenda and the issues confronting us. You don't do that by doing town halls. You should do town halls. But a town hall is no substitute for the State of the State. So, again, the answer is give a better speech. There's no excuse for that terrible performance of last week.
Well, and again, maybe it's a little unfair to compare him, and not that I was necessarily comparing him to Governor Jennifer Granholm, who was an excellent orator and certainly was, in my opinion, a far superior leader, because I think you lead by example, and if this governor is leading by example, I'm more than a little bit concerned. So maybe it's unfair to compare them because they're not the same people and they don't have the same skill set. But they also, Mark, don't have the same vision for the State of Michigan either.
No, Tony, and I'd be fine if he was just a boring reader of a speech. That's not the issue. The issue is no substance. I mean, look, right before his speech, President Carlos Swift of the AFL-CIO put out a terrific jobs agenda. We didn't hear a word about jobs. Senate Democrats put out their Michigan 2020 plan to provide, free tuition to graduates of Michigan high schools when they go to college. the House Democrats had proposed a number of great job-creating ideas. He could have embraced some of those and delivered a very substantive speech. Delivered it boringly, I don't care. Let's hear the substance, but there was no substance.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. You're right. And in fact, you know, I did not know this, and as I'm actually talking to people, apparently others were not aware that this governor didn't, quote-unquote, write speeches, that he just went off an outline. Although, you know, as we listened to what he delivered last week in the State of the State address, it seemed like it was a prepared text, although, again, poorly delivered. Mark, all of that aside, you're right. This is about substance. And I found it odd that some of his greatest failures as governor, Public Act 4 is an example. You know, what he did to senior citizens, he didn't mention that. What he did to education by cutting funding, you know, he actually wore some of these things as if they were some kind of badge of honor, when the reality is, and all you have to do is look at his approval rating, 19% before he delivers this address. Obviously, he's not in touch with what's going on here.
Oh, no, Tony. I mean, and the people know the real state of the state, and maybe that's the reason why he couldn't get much of a speech last year. I mean, that approval rating reflects what people are seeing and feeling. You know, I did a little math last week, Tony. You know, we had this, I think it was $1.8 billion tax cut for CEOs and corporations in this state, and economists recently predicted that Michigan would create about 30,000 jobs this year. Even if you give credit to Snyder for all those jobs, that's $16,000, Tony, per job. That is not efficient way to create jobs. If that's the result of that $2 billion tax cut, you can see why people are very upset. You know, we've got a surplus now, and we can invest that in public education. We can invest it in higher education. Did he even suggest that last week? No. So, again, people very disappointed in the first year, and they didn't see anything in that speech last week that indicate he's going to change course.
Well, you know, I find it interesting. Even the more conservative members of my listening audience have no problem defending this governor on the most minute of issues. Not one. Literally, Mark, not one person has either called the show or sent me an email or sent me a tweet. Not one person has said, hey, Tony, you know, you're being a little too hard on the governor, or they're making excuses. Not one person has defended what the governor did during the State of the State address last week, because it's indefensible, Mark.
No, it really is, Tony. And again, I was there on the floor, and, you know, the Republicans were saying, they won't say it to the press, they won't say it publicly. A lot of them were shaking their heads and just, you know, bewildered by the lack of substance in the speech, when there's so many pressing issues facing us. It just left people very, very surprised and uneasy, I think, going into the year ahead, not knowing what the agenda is.
No, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, I of course, like everybody else, I followed Twitter, and I was following, you know, the Republicans that were following and really paying attention to what they were saying, and they had even, Mark, before we go to the break here, they had even trouble being polite, some of the Republicans. They wanted some stuff. The pundits, in and of themselves, the conservative pundits, really didn't quite know how to respond to this address.
No, they really had to stretch to try to find something positive to say about it, and believe me, they were really stretching. I was watching a lot of those interviews, Tony. Again, just a poor, poor speech, lack of substance, and doesn't give us in Michigan much guidance about what the governor's agenda is.
Yeah. Okay, we need to take a quick break here. Mark Brewer's on the other end of our line. We do have somebody that would like to defend the governor, so we're going to let him do that when we continue. Also, getting a lot of reaction on the internet, a lot of emails on the governor's address again this morning. Stay with us, folks. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. We have a lot more to get to before we let him go today. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident out there, 696 westbound at Gratiot. It's on the left shoulder. Traffic is backed up just a little bit behind it. 696 westbound after that, between Mound and 75, you'll find delays there. 96 eastbound between Kensington Road and Beck Road, you'll find that all backed up too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. The rain has mostly moved through the area, but there's still a pretty good chance throughout the entire day. We'll reach our high around noon of 47, but then it'll drop the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's foggy and 43 at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Introducing the newest member of the Prius family from Toyota. Prius V has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you have access to apps like iHeartRadio, so you can listen to your favorite local stations anywhere. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V, available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was, not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Woo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chilling. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.ca, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after the hour. Mark Brewer, again, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. He is on his Northern Michigan tour, winter tour, as we speak, begins today. And he is on the other end of our line. We do want to go to the phones, though. And welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, you're on the air with Mark Brewer. What's on your mind today?
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I'll defend Snyder. On the totality of things, I think he's moving us in the right direction, honestly. You yourself last week said you can't really judge him this year because a lot of his legislation really doesn't take effect till this year. So let's see how it plays out. But overall, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Give me an example, Steve, of something that moves us in the right direction.
Well, we're making these cities, you know, get their financial houses in order, And, yeah, this emergency financial manager thing, you don't want to implement it, and hopefully it doesn't go into effect, but it's making these cities get their, you know, financial, you know, house in order, basically.
All right.
That's one good thing.
Mark, how would you, and Steve, thanks for the call. Mark, how would you respond to that, that maybe Public Act 4 actually helps cities get their financial house in order?
Well, Tony, let me give your caller an example from both the public and private sectors as to how we're not moving in the right direction. In terms of Public Act 4, you know, one of the reasons these cities and school districts are in such terrible financial shape is because Snyder and the Republicans cut revenue sharing last year. I mean, pushed a lot of these folks, these cities and school districts, over the edge financially. They created a lot of the crisis that's going on in our local communities. But let me give an example from the private sector, which you would think that the Republicans would pay attention to. Tony, you know, last year, venture capital invested in Michigan dropped dramatically to its lowest level in years. So if that's not a lack of confidence in the governor's economic plan from the private sector from which he hails, I don't know what else is. That's a leading indicator, and if venture capitalists don't think it's worth investing in Michigan, that says a lot about the governor's program.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'd have to agree with you there. All right, for the sake of time, Mark, we're just going to move on. Really do want to get your impressions on, well, what some people found to be a stunning result Saturday night in South Carolina. Not only did Newt Gingrich beat Mitt Romney, he beat him by double digits, and not many people predicted that. Mark, what does that tell us moving forward for the GOP?
Well, I think it tells us a lot that such a flawed candidate as Newt Gingrich can come from behind so dramatically and beat Mitt Romney. I mean, Romney has got so many problems, Tony. I mean, you know, it's all starting to come out now about his activities at Bain Capital, about, you know, the jobs that they destroyed in the course of him running that company. He's refusing to disclose his taxes, and there were credible press reports last week that he's got a lot of money invested overseas to shelter it from taxes. I mean, it's just showing what a defective candidate and out-of-touch candidate Mitt Romney is. You know, in this year that we're all concerned about, you know, corporate CEOs taking advantage of the system and all the other problems we've seen out of Wall Street. He is, you know, the model of that kind of person, and I think it's somebody that the American people and now even the Republican Party is having great doubts about.
Well, there's no question. I watched with great interest, and not. You know, I'll admit I was a little bit entertained. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was on Meet the Press yesterday. Mark, I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but As he's strongly defending Mitt Romney and not quite sure how to handle Newt Gingrich, really talking out of both sides of his mouth. And listen, I wouldn't want to be a surrogate for any one of these jamokes right now. It's just it would be very, very difficult to do that. It's hard to defend the former speaker's record. It's even more difficult to defend Mitt Romney's record as governor of Massachusetts, and more specifically as a venture capitalist. We know that although, you know, he goes out and nobody's begrudging Mitt Romney, Mark, his success. Nobody's ever done that. In fact, I would never begrudge anybody their success. The problem I have is don't hide behind it. And that's what he's doing. He's hiding in plain sight. And frankly, he admits yesterday he's now made a mistake. Mitt, make up your mind. Who are you?
Right. Oh, I think he's got real problems with authenticity. This morning, Tony, on one of the news programs, the Romney campaign had released a picture of Romney doing the laundry, Tony. And if anybody would believe that Mitt Romney does his own laundry. You know, and the whole thing's falling apart. His campaign claimed that while at Bain Capital, he created over 100,000 jobs. Well, when they started asking questions, pretty soon the number was tens of thousands, and pretty soon was, well, we're not really sure how many jobs Bain Capital created. So none of this stuff stands up under scrutiny. Of course, this is on top of, Tony, the constant flip-flops on whatever issue it is. The latest one being, of course, releasing the tax return.
Right, which he supposedly will do tomorrow. All right, and last but not least, I really do want to mention this before, because we're seeing the manifestations of this now. The two-year anniversary of Citizens United is really making it, it's really rearing its ugly head in these primary battles. Mark, it's headed to Michigan like a freight train. We'll really get, I think, our flavor of Citizens United come the end of February, won't we?
Oh, yeah, we will. And you can see there were reports over the weekend that some of the biggest spenders in South Carolina were the super PACs, particularly those of Gingrich and Romney. And Romney's super PAC has been spending money all over the country for months. It really is corrupting the system. These are not independent of the candidates. It enables, you know, big corporations and wealthy individuals to really get in there and manipulate the system. And, yeah, we're going to get a taste of it, Tony. We got a foretaste of it in 2010, and we're going to see a lot more of it during the course of the year. That was a terrible decision, and it's having a terrible impact on our political system.
Is there any chance, Mark, that Citizens United will be reversed?
I think if we can change the composition of the court, that's the only way that's really going to happen, Tony. We got, you know, people on the court who are just out of touch with the way the political system works. I mean, you read that opinion by Justice Kennedy, and like, clearly doesn't understand how politics works. He's got some idealistic version of, you know, this is not being coordinated and people aren't working together to do this, and that's just not the way it works. So we need folks who have a much more realistic perspective on our political system on the court. That would be the only way it gets reversed, I think.
Yeah, well, then we'll see. Very quickly, we're going to take a call because we need to let you go. We're running out of time. So somebody else wants to comment on Governor Snyder's speech. Mark in Birmingham, you're on the air with Mark Brewer. I'm going to have to ask you to make your comments very quickly.
Yeah, I think you guys have Obama-itis. It's only a speech. It's a matter of what he does. Unlike our president, who only gives speeches, it's just a speech. The reason we elected Governor Snyder is a reaction to the fecklessness of Granholm. You know, he cut out the ridiculous movie subsidies. The whole point is to reduce debt, and that's what Governor Snyder was elected.
And you know what, Mark? Not only did the governor, you're right, he did reduce debt. He also, and I'll let Mark Brewer have the last word on this, he also reduced a whole lot of jobs in the process. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, the film incentives, that cost us jobs. The elimination of item pricing, that cost us jobs. There's not a single thing the governor can point to that he did last year that has actually created jobs in Michigan. We've had thousands, perhaps tens of thousands at this point, of public employees laid off because of revenue sharing cuts and cuts in school districts, teachers laid off. He's been a disaster for the Michigan economy.
Absolutely. Mark Brewer, have a safe trip in the UP. Tell our Upers we said hello downstate, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely. As always, Mark Brewer. We come back. Chris Savage with Eclectablog. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Looking at some delays out there on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and Kniff, 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. That is slow as well. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, rain showers are likely, though most of the showers we've had this morning are out of the way. We'll reach a high of 47 right around noon. And the temperature will drop the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely, cloudy, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries, a high in the lower to mid-30s. Right now, it's 43 and foggy at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
What planet does presidential wannabe Rick Santorum live on? When it comes to grasping the situation of America's hard-hit workaday majority, this sweater-vested ultra-right-winger is further out than Pluto. In a recent debate, Santorum assailed a tax plan proposed by front-runner Mitt Romney. It wasn't the plan's details that caused Rick to stamp his tiny feet, but Romney's expressed intent to help the, quote, middle class. Tut-tut, chided the ideologically pure Santorum. Republicans mustn't use such language, for it creates an impression of class warfare. After all, he lectured, there are no classes in America. We don't put people in classes.
Sure, Rick. Forget today's jobless economy, a national epidemic of union busting and wage knockdowns, absurd tax giveaways to the super rich, the ongoing Wall Street bailout, inexcusable corporate subsidies, rising poverty, the slashing of anti-poverty programs, and a decade of falling incomes for the vast majority, while the elite 1% makes off with triple-digit increases in their wealth. There's no class war happening. Just close your eyes, hum a happy tune, and live on Pluto. Meanwhile, in the same week that Santorum spoke, the Pew Research Center released a new survey showing how far removed he is from regular people's experiences and concerns. Two-thirds of Americans see, quote, strong conflicts between the rich and the poor in our country, a stark division between those few who have wealth, power, and security, and the vast majority who don't. The few do not have the same objectives as the many, and the survey found that this class separation, yes, class, is the number one source of social tension in America today. This is Jim Hightower saying, interestingly, for the far-out Santorum, not only do 73% of Democrats and 68% of Independents agree, but so do 55% of Republicans.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very girdly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. We have a lot to get to in this next half hour, so I'm just going to go ahead and get to work. We just had a caller, and I apologize. We just have our guest with the blog roll, and just a lot to do. So let's go ahead, give me my intro. Let's get going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae and delivers information that impacts us all. Welcome back to First Shift. This week's blog roll
from Eclecta Blog,
Chris Savage.
And joining us now is Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog. We have a lot to get to. Chris, first of all, I want to welcome you back to First Shift, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you, sir?
Good. By the way, enjoyed the post State of the Union comments by the media. You guys, you and Christine over at Blogging for Michigan, certainly got a little bit of attention yourselves, did you not?
We stirred it up a bit, but that's all right.
I'm proud of you. That's all I have to say. I'm very proud of you. Let's start off on a positive note. I got to tell you, as you're well aware, Chris, in Southeast Michigan right now, if you're running for Congress, you need a scorecard already. I mean, I've never seen a more active congressional district by district, a more active congressional race than we're going to see here in 2012 amongst Democrats. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That means that there are a lot of good people that we need to choose from. But I'm happy to say if we move just a little bit north to Flint, there's a guy that is clearly, I believe, I've had him on the show, his name's Dan Kildee, I believe is going to be a pretty easy path to victory. And not that we don't need to work for him, because we do need to work for him, but a little bit clearer the further north we go.
Yeah, that's going to be a great race, and Dan Kildee is running for the 5th District up there for his father's seat. Christine's got
actually that's his uncle. It's his uncle.
Or, sorry, his uncle, not his dad. Yeah, Christine's got a 5-day segment, or once a day for 5-day segment that covers an interview that she did with him recently, and I encourage people to head over to Blogging for Michigan each day. There'll be a segment of the interview, and she's got some good stuff there, so it's worth folks checking it out. It's bloggingformichigan.com.
Yeah, what I like about it is it's going to give us a chance to get to know him a little bit better. And, you know, of course, you and I both agree, Chris. Christine has this way of the writing that's very comfortable and approachable. I mean, it's almost like you're sitting down having a conversation with somebody as opposed to reading somebody.
Yeah, she's a consummate blogger. She's been at it a long time, so she's very good at it, and I think people will learn a lot about Dan Kildee or Dan Kildee through these interviews.
Yeah, and so again, I had the great fortune the day that he announced he was running, he was kind enough to come on the show and announce here. Yeah, he's just an amazing guy, and of course he's got deep roots in that congressional district, and he's helped that congressional district, as people will find out if they go to bloggingformichigan.com. And read that series this week. You know, you're going to find a guy that has roots that are deeply entrenched in this community. He's done a lot to help this community. Well, no matter what, do something to help the community. And it's not all been, by the way, as a public servant. He's just been an amazing advocate for that entire area. And they're fortunate to have him as a candidate. And again, it's my opinion, just my opinion, that he's going to have a fairly easy path to victory. In fact, at this point, you know, I really thought, Chris, that there were going to be a couple people that were going to announce in the 5th, and they've not done that yet. And I think part of that has to do with the strength of Dan as a candidate.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, it's going to get a little more contested, I think, as you go down south towards Detroit, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, yeah, that goes without saying. All right, well, listen, you know, interestingly, we were talking a little bit earlier this morning about the emergency manager law, the Public Act 4 here in Michigan, because the governor actually referenced it during his State of the State debacle as something to be proud of, and we actually had somebody that called the show and said, yes, but that means that it gives us, you know, it gives us some framework in which to get cities to get their financial house in order, which, with all due respect to the caller, I don't think you quite understand Public Act 4. But it's not, Public Act 4 is getting attention, and not necessarily in a positive way, in other parts of the country.
You bet. And, you know, people are really starting to pay attention to what's going on in Michigan. And found out this weekend that Indiana now has passed a similar bill, different but similar, out of their committee, and it's going to the full Senate now, which does a lot of the same things Public Act 4 does. We'll do that for Indiana, which is, you know, giving these basically local dictators the ability to, you know, renegotiate labor contracts and adjust collective bargaining agreements and things like that. So I'm basically warning Indiana to take a look at what's been going on in Michigan and realize that this can be a very slippery slope. We started out with emergency financial manager bills or laws that had much more limited scope, and they've over time transformed into what we have now, which is this sort of dictator law.
Right, and you know, even though again, the Governor Snyder was on Flashpoint this past weekend with Devin Scillian on WDIV Channel 4 here in the Detroit area. And he, you know, he talks about his hands-off approach, and you know that, you know, the committee meets with these folks. He doesn't even ask them what's going on. And you know, ultimately, of course, we know that it's the governor that recommends or that appoints and recommends the emergency manager. It is not a committee that does it. It is the governor's decision, and the governor's decision alone. So he can hide behind the guise of this group, this committee that is, you know, supposedly there for investigative purposes, when we know much better than that, Chris.
Yeah, you know, and Governor Snyder is pretty good at hiding behind the actions of other people. He's been doing that with the extremely conservative legislators in the House and the Senate. You know, he stands back and lets them do the dirty work and then signs the bill at the end. And, you know, that's pretty gutless, really, in a lot of ways.
Well, you know, and honestly, I think that's where he has maybe been most masterful, Chris. Let's be honest about it. This idea that he's a likable kind of a golly gosh geez kind of guy. You know, he is that tough nerd, and, you know, he is the accountant. And, we, you know, you and I just don't get him because we just don't get people like that.
I don't think it's by accident. Let's put it that way.
You're not going to get an argument out of me. Absolutely not. Well, you know, and ultimately, we need to understand that especially as we take a look at the state of the state, and that nothing came from it, and then we look at the news that has been made since then. What the governor talks about, he talks about, you know, the budget message on February 8th or 9th, whatever day it is. You know, that's really when we're going to learn a lot. When we talk about issues that matter to people, like education, and he said, yes, you know, I do want to invest more money in education, Chris. But I want to do it, he says, in a way where, you know, we have, you know, something to show for it, that there's metrics involved, that we're measuring things. That of course, makes me very nervous, because that's another way of saying you're going to do it my way or you're not going to get anything. And I didn't think that, especially as, you know, in this past summer, as we learned, and even in the fall, we had all these Headley overrides that were being approved all over the state of Michigan, certainly here heavily in Southeast Michigan, some 70% of them, because the governor is raided money that was designated for education. I mean, that's still unconstitutional. What he did to me is still unconstitutional.
You know, these schools are hurting now, and the impacts of what this budget that they passed last year are going to have, you know, a lot of those effects are still going to manifest themselves. So I think we're going to see a lot more school districts really, really struggling and really being underwater in their budgets. And, you know, this isn't restricted just to urban areas. One of the points that I've been making all along is that, you know, really any school district that's on the edge is vulnerable. And now we're seeing in Perry schools and in Sutton Bay up in the Pinky part of Michigan, these are, you know, vastly majority white communities, and their school districts are now vulnerable to this as well. So, you know, if people think this is something that's going to happen just in the urban areas, they need to really pay attention, because this could affect anybody.
Well, you know, the governor had said that, and he says it with a, I don't know, this tinge in his voice that kind of grates at me, but he says, you know, nobody should go without a payday, and so that they're advancing monies. They use Highland Park as an example. That they're advancing monies for payroll is, you know, like as if they're some kind of hero. Well, at the same time, you also took money from their budget, maybe monies that, I don't know, would have covered that payroll.
Yeah, just suggesting. Yeah, what do you think? So yeah, it's pretty disingenuous to take money away and then come back later with a sort of fake concession that, well, we're going to start funding education. He's classic at taking large sums of money out of specific things and then later giving a little back and making it seem like he's this benevolent, benevolent person who's made a concession. That's not a concession. That's a fake concession.
Well, no. And again, I want to point out that everything's going to come with rules. Everything's going to come with strings attached. It's not going to be simply just restoring the funding where it should have been. Well, it shouldn't have been taken from the beginning.
Agreed. And, you know, the problem that I have with it is that there may be some good ideas that come out of this, but they get overshadowed by the fact that, you know, or by the way that they're done. And I just don't understand why the state can't work with these groups and implement these good ideas without the sort of massive takeover of this, of the school district or of the municipalities. You know, there seems to be an all or nothing approach. And that's, I think, what's got most people really upset about Public Act 4.
Well, there's the, yes, I mean, yeah, there is this, the all or nothing, the all or nothing approach is truly what has people upset. And honestly, as, you know, and especially as people have been educated, the work that you're doing, the work that Christine's doing, the work that I'm doing, and now collectively the work that we're doing, as people are becoming more aware of what this stuff and the impact this has on people, they're a little bit afraid, and they're afraid because they don't know what to do. Well, there's an answer to that. It's called the 2012 election, and what you need to do is you need to turn this House of Representatives in the state from Republican to Democrat, and that's 20 seats. We need to take a quick break. Chris, stay where you're at. We've got some callers coming in as well, and,
right,
we'll get to them. Mark and Mike, stay where you're at. You guys are up next. I'm Tony Truppiano. Chris Savage is with me from eclectablog.com. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's go to Rachel Maddow. She does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
My personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. Congratulations, Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Triano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. Tony Triano with you. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Chris Savage, my guest. This is our blog roll segment. Chris, of course, with eclectablog.com. We're going to go to the phones because we got a lot to get to, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. Chris, let's welcome Mark and Warren to First Shift. Mark, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind today?
Mark. Morning, Tony. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show, Tony.
My pleasure.
I wanted to talk about the governor's repeatedly environments. He wants to create an environment of this. He wants to create an environment of that. I think what they're doing in education is very strategic. They're creating an environment of failure for the urban districts. What their agenda is simply the charter school agenda. It breaks unions. It allocates money to their friends and so forth. And I don't think it's an accident that they're doing so. So, like I said, when he talks about creating environments of this and that, I think that's the ulterior motive here.
All right, Mark, appreciate that. Chris, you want to comment on what Mark had to say?
Yeah, you know, I can't agree more with that. And part of that environment they're creating is this idea that somehow teachers are greedy or that they're self-serving and not interested in the kids and stuff, and they're really painting teachers to be the villains in all of this. And that's just not the case, and neither are the public employees that are part of the public unions that work at the schools and as our police officers and firefighters. That is the kind of environment that they're creating. And it's an environment that really has been sort of in the works now for a while. The Mackinac Center has promoted for a long time the privatization of school services and public services in general. And this plays right into it. And Governor Snyder has made it very clear that he subscribes to that particular sort of approach to things.
Absolutely. Let's take one more call, and we got to get ready to wrap it up. Mike in Westland joins us now. Mike, you're on the air with Chris Savage. What's on your mind?
Tony, thanks for taking my call. Chris, Tony and I agree on very little, but he does allow me access to the call, and I do appreciate that. And your previous caller actually was going to go down a different road, but an environment of failure that the governor's created. These urban districts have been failing for decades. I found that one kind of interesting. But, Tony, you and Chris said about strings being attached by the governor. What about, Chris, all the strings that the federal government puts on the 15% of funding that they provide? Do you guys think that should be removed?
I missed part of that. 15% of what?
The federal government requires, the 50% that the federal government requires, would we be opposed to those limits being removed?
The strings that are attached to get the 15%, should those strings be removed by the federal government? They're only providing 15% of the revenue that comes in the district, but it comes with all kinds of strings.
Hello?
We lost the caller, unfortunately. Anyway, he was just basically, going on about the federal requirements and the strings that are attached to that. Would we be opposed to those requirements being removed?
I don't have enough knowledge about that to speak knowledgeably about it.
Well, what I do know, and I know enough to know that the federal monies that are sent into the state of Michigan, the requirements on that money is not nearly as restrictive as what the governor is talking about. And we don't even know what he's talking about, Chris, to be honest with you, because the governor won't tell us what he wants.
That's right.
Right. So I can't even comment on that. So no, the least regulation, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Not that there doesn't need to be some accountability in place. Chris Savage, thank you so much for being with us. Obviously, it was a great blog roll segment, and I'm glad this is working out so well for all of us. We'll look forward to talking to you again in a couple weeks, and, of course, we'll be reading you at eclectablog.com.
All right, keep up the great work, Tony.
All right, thank you. Chris Savage, once again. Before I get out of here today, and we don't have a lot of time left, first of all, I want to thank everybody. I had a great show. Jeff, I don't want to skip over the fact that Joe Paterno died yesterday morning. My thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to his family. It is a very difficult time for his family because obviously an amazing career is looked at more suspiciously now because of what happened with Jerry Sandusky. I think that that's clearly true, whether folks believe that or not. I believe that that's clearly true. Certainly, though, it does beg the question, does Joe Paterno's life become less important because of this scandal late in his career? I mean, literally in the twilight of his career? I don't know.
It's sad. Somebody told me that when a guy dedicates his entire life to something as long as Joe Pa did, and suddenly it's taken from him, that you'll actually see a decline. Now, I don't know. I mean, the guy probably had lung cancer for a while, but it's interesting. And I was battling it for a while, thinking, man, if this thing could have just came out a little bit later, he probably would have died while he was coaching. Maybe not, though. But it taints a career that's, 60, 70 years deep.
Well, certainly, yes, it does taint a career that's 60 or 70 years deep. I think the stress, the emotional and the physical stress that was created as a result of this sex scandal did shorten Joe Pa's life. I think there is a direct correlation, Jeff, between the two. How direct? I can't answer that. I'm not a doctor. I don't know that that's something that you can test. I don't think there's a blood test for something like that. But my God, just stop and think about what that man went through the last 6 months of his life. Who would have thought that he would have to endure that? Listen, every year, the last few years especially, there was always talk, will this be his last year? Should he retire? Depending on who you believed, there were some that were saying that, Joe Pa did whatever Joe Pa wanted to do. And I don't know that that's true or not. I have no way of knowing if that's true or not. Could he have stayed as long as he wanted to? I don't know. I don't know that he had that kind of power. But he sure, Jeff, and it goes back to something I've said on the show from day one, follow the money. And he sure did bring that university a whole lot of money.
That he did. And it's interesting. I don't know exactly how the take goes on Joe Pa, but for a guy who loved football and just wanted to be a football coach, there was times where I think he had more influence than maybe he even realized, and that's what ended up getting him in the end, because the people wanted to see him basically be the president of Pennsylvania, or maybe of at least Penn State. And really, he was a football coach who people listened to, and he just wanted to coach football, and they wanted him to overstep his boundaries and become morally and ethically on the line?
You know, I think what crystallizes this for me is we go back to the riot. There was the riot the day that he was removed, and there was a riot on campus. It wasn't a huge riot, but it was a riot nonetheless. And that says a lot about how difficult this situation was, and I think at some level still is for the university. My thoughts and prayers go to his family who had to see him suffer, again, an emotional and physical defeat, towards the end of his career that, was embarrassing. And there's no other way to put it but that, but certainly didn't want today's show to, pass without recognizing the accomplishment of Joe Pa, and what he did for college football, because he did do a lot for college football. That'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thanks very much for everything you do to this amazing audience. I appreciate you being there. Off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. I'm off to buy a new keyboard so I can use my desktop, which is critical to my doing the show. It truly is. That'll do it for me today. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got an accident out there, not over westbound at Shook Road. It's on the shoulder, causing some minor car delays. 686 westbound between DeQuinter and Woodward. That is backed up. So is southbound 75 between 14 Mile and 8th Mile on Russell Traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. The rain has mostly moved through the area, but there's still a pretty good chance throughout the entire day. We'll reach our high around noon of 47, but then it'll drop the rest of the day. Tonight, snow showers are likely, a low around 27. Then tomorrow, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a high near 34. Right now, it's fog and 43 at Detroit City Airport.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify.